know when Sultana is available. Sultana, you wanted to ask those. Mr. Sultana, come and get all your ammunition ready. Keep your card in mind and shoot Mr. Mopoking. Question, Ms. Wenger, Mr. Sultana, Dr. Huang. Okay, so let's see the start, Ms. Wenger.
Part of the department in this regard, because you can say they read your meters on your own and pay us. I'll give you a very long meters and pay left. I just want to know how are you going to monitor this? Because I can't read meters for my own. But you must have other mechanisms. They can read meters, and the department also must come up with a mechanism and say, this is how we're going to read meters and make sure that these people pay what is due to us. Sir, so there are a few comments and questions that I have. Sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think yesterday in your presentation you said water is life, yes, but money more important to the water, because no money is no water. So money is more important to the life. But now you said your appointment for this agency for the correct today. I don't know how they can correct the money in the outstanding account. Because it is outstanding off from the municipality. Not the individual, the person. So how you can collect this money without for the legal way? You say this one is legal way because you appointed for the some people, some company. But nobody is collect money from individual outstanding. They put the practice. I want my question is how you can put the municipality in the press list. And say this on the cost for write off of the incorrect interest charge. I think this is a big issue for the outstanding 6 billion yuan for the orderly water trading entity. Outstanding from the municipality 6 billion yuan. How much is 6 billion yuan for charging for interest? How you can write off for the 6 billion yuan for the interest? Because people owe the money to the bank, to the anyway, they charge the interest. And this 6 billion yuan not only 1 year. So 6 billion yuan not including for the interest. You will plus the interest in. Not only 6 billion yuan. Then you call this, you say you appointment for the list, the correct agency. I don't know how this company can promise you can collect money from the municipality. Because you can't put the day in the correct list. So I'd like to get the information from you, sir. Thank you.
Mr. Ganya, and then Mr. Rogers, and then Mr. Kotana, I think.
Good morning, Chair. Thank you very much. Mine is just to ask the department if the farmers are also paying or they are also owing. Why I'm raising this question, the canals that take water to the farmers pass through the township and the villages. They are not fed. Kids fall into the water and die. So whose responsibility is essential?
Mr. Rogers, thank you. One of the problems that we face in our communities is trying to get them to pay for services and to inculcate a culture of payment and not non-payment. Yet the very people that supply the services or buy the water are in fact not paying for what they get. Now, I'd like to note, Chair, that if we don't meter raw water, how then do you determine the price of that water? If you don't know what you're selling, how do you know what your cost is and how do you calculate the price that you sell it at? Also then, Chair, if you look at your debtors analysis, under 150 days, plus we've got 4.2 billion. In fact, under 30 days, we've got an extra...
Which slide is that again?
I was actually looking for... Analysis of receivables, February 2002.
Okay, go. Sorry, go ahead. Oh, there you are. That was looking for you. Okay, thanks. I'm sorry for interrupting.
No problem. So, in fact, the situation is getting steadily worse. It's not improving. Why has it taken us so long to realize that we've got this crisis? Why was this not dealt with earlier? And then
public chair, just to add that if you look at municipalities, they're probably one of the worst paying out of lot. And it just brings me back to my question of this culture of non-payment. I certainly would not support that any of this debt get written off, and the department needs to investigate exactly how they're going to collect it, whether they're going to get municipalities to accept responsibility and sign acknowledgement of debt. I don't know quite how they're going to deal with it, but I certainly wouldn't support any writing. Thanks, Jack.
Thank you. Back to Mr. Kosana.
Mr. Kosana, this plan is seeks to address the issue of debt. But it deals with companies that are easily identified or that are people as on daily business. I just want to ask a question, sir. It's almost a follow-up to the question asked by Ms. Mangai about the farmers who are consuming our water on daily basis, irrigating crops and so on. Why can't you put them in a plan for metering? Because we want those farmers to be metered. The water meter. That meter and it's all the water meter. One of our water amounts. It can be companies that are easily identified only. And this report I should think, if it can go out there to the communities, can be a serious problem. Because in the rural areas we've got meters, even if they've not yet started to run, but they do have meters. Some are busy meters as well as well. If the big companies that got no meters have the poor people on the ground are having meters, they poor. They must pay water. They put meters to those canals so that they can pay water. Come up with mechanism and put a meter so that they can pay. That is don't pay. It's the same thing.
The metering. You say we must have the progress now. The problem is you gave me no progress. You gave me an explanation what you want to do over a 4-year period. But you haven't told us. Are you saying to me that metering of the category 1 or type 1 or whatever you call it, you're ready to start it immediately? Or by which date will you start that metering, the class 1? So I've got a whole lot of other things I want to. I've got a whole lot of talk for you, but I'm going to leave that to the end. But answer those questions plus the missing one, okay?
Thank you, Member. Thank you, President. Let me start by saying, firstly, the Chair, the issue of provision of impairment does not necessarily mean we are saying we are going to write off.
Yeah, but Chief, it's in your head. That's the problem. If you, as one of the accounting officers, in your head, that there's the possibility of a huge write-off of the money. That was the problem. So if we come and tell us that before you even try to get the money, it's a serious problem. That's why people are raising this problem. Because once it's in the department's head, once your officials know that we're going to write this in order, how do you think? Do you think they're really seriously going to write letters and try and collect the money? No, because they know that the department's attitude is we're going to write these things off. That's the problem we have with this issue. Is that you guys have taken a wrong approach to this matter. If you came to us and said, Chair, this is what we've done. We've gone to these people, we've given them their accounts, we've asked them to sign these things, this one refuses, this one refuses, we're going to have to maybe write this off because the debt is too old or whatever, whatever. Or we don't have the invoice. But that's not what you can tell us. You tell us there's a strategy onto the farm. That there's a possibility of provision of billions of rand. I think that's the problem that we have. It's the approach to the matter. You know, what I want to see is you creating, working 24 hours a day, all your staff working 24 hours a day to get the money, and then you come and tell me which are not, and then we say to you, okay, well, we agree it's inevitable with those ones. But then we know that you've done something. That's our problem. So, you know, don't even try to answer that one. You already started this wrongly for the committee. That's why you back this one.
Never gets called back to the committee.
That's how
serious it is. Thank you, Chair. Maybe let me explain again that the AG is the one who said you wanted information to explain to you what was in the provision of last year and what I'm thinking. and what you are saying to you is that this is not the thing we are left. This is just to say that this is what is required in the financial. If you go back to the financial statement of last year with the AGF audited, we were forced to have this because of the class under. And why, Chair, I'm trying to explain this, is that when you are in the financial statement, you have to be able to say what is the history of your customers, how have they been paying you, and be able to come up with an amount. And if you know something with those customers, you should also be able and to come back and say, what are you planning to do? We are not going to write off. We have not even written off. We have actually went out and explained yesterday that we did what we call a debt calculation. And as you sit here, even some of the customers that are here today, they have received their letter of demand in February, where we demanded to say they must come forward. If they're not going to be paying, these are the steps we're going to take. And I said yesterday that we even went the following, making sure that you appoint a company that will be able to change these customers to actually to come and pay. There is no way we're going to write off this amount. There is no way. That's what I want to record that. It's not what you are saying. It's just that that is an accounting requirement when you prepare financial statements. That if you don't do that, the AGF will come there and say, you know for a fact that the customers are not paying, why did you provide for them? That doesn't mean that we are writing off. Coming back to the questions that have been raised, yes, there is document evidence that is available for the customer to be able to pay. We normally send every month invoices to the customer. Some customers complain about not getting the invoice to the right address, even though the address is the one that they actually gave us. So then we are working closely with the customer to ensure that they do get the invoices and statements. Some customers don't agree to the issue of the account that we give them in terms of what we have been in them. And in our business, there are two variables that we have. One is the tariff. So if we upload a tariff maybe in the year like now for this year, April for this month, we're supposed to be charging them based on the new tariff. So if a customer can't complain with the tariff, really it's something that we normally do to one and the rest is with that. However, when it comes to volume, sometimes there is a complaint. Where does the complaint come? We had an arrangement where customers were actually doing the readings on their own, and we did the readings as well. There is a tiny difference in terms of the readings. And the customer will say, no, I don't agree with this because my reading says this. Now we think we're going to change that. We're going to make sure with all the different classes that we make the reading for those class 1 and for those class 2 that the readings have been done by the customer. However, we are going to ensure that the meters are there. Meaning that our role, and now I'm going to give you the question which is saying, what is our role? Our role will be, even if the customer has it already, we'll still be having a meter in place and be able to come back and say, let's do the spot check to see where the figures that we're getting are actually the figures that the companies are giving us. We're now rolling out a system called SEP, as I said, the utility, which in that system, we are also going to include the issue of the remote reading of the meters, which is a new technology that we are going to put in place. So indeed, the customers do have the proof of every account that they are owing us, and we are saying they have to pay, and hence moving in the direction of trying to make sure that they do pay. Meters, are they not put for big companies? There are meters that have been put. The challenge we're sitting with members is that we had other people putting their own meters, and we had our meters somewhere we had put the meters. There was no clear strategy within the department in terms of meters. And I think the strategy we're bringing to you today is to say, we'll take ownership of the meter, we'll install the meter, we'll actually ensure that the meters are working properly, we'll calculate them, we'll do what is necessary, so that we don't depend on the customers. As we sit today, there's a mixture of those meters being installed by ourselves and the meters that are being installed by the company. And that is based on the regulations that are there as we currently speak. So, but we're acknowledging the department, we need to put our own meter and ensure that every customer does have a meter, that meter belongs to us. So when it breaks, we can have a problem where the customer, when they break, that means the meter breaks, they sit there and they know that there's what we call registered volumes that can be used for their billing. So that we are putting in place.
When I asked, when is it that you will start installing the first meter?
The first meter,
that one is the
line manager is here, who is actually responsible for landing it, who is actually responsible for doing it.
She will
answer that question. Where is she? All what I know is that the we're still going to go out on tender to get this. We are not yet the we have not just been under tender yet. Okay. But the, I think that even there will have to
get the answer down.
Thanks, Chair. The tender, we are in the process of scoping and looking at the available technology in the market right now. The idea is that the tender should be going out in the next 2 to 3 months. We should be completed with procurement, and then we get into the process of implementing the meter. Be that as may, I think I also need to allay the fears of the members about the metering, is that it was not that we did not have a mechanism of determining how much was supposed to be charged per user. The pricing structure as it is current makes provision that where there is no meter, the department can then use the registered volume, which became very, very easy, especially in the irrigation sector, because the way farmers, which are the irrigators, the way they would register is they would register the number of hectares that they are going to irrigate over a year. Then it becomes easy just to take a registered volume. In some instances, I would say that you may have found that the farmers may have even used less than what they would have projected to irrigate over that period of the year. But we are now going through a situation where we say, okay, let us agree on the actual volume. But it was not that we were like dumping the figures. We were looking at the registered volume at the time when the farmer got into an agreement with us when we issued them with the water use right. And I must also mention that, interestingly, the big conglomerates that are drawing water from our system, you're talking about we're getting about 80% of our revenue from the big users. And all the big users in the country are meters, because I think it's very, very imperative on their side, and it's book that they pay the extra. So 80% of our revenue is meters, but the 80% are the people that are drawing water from the infrastructure, which is about, we have got 65,000 users. Out of that, 6,500 are meters. Then the rest are farmers, which is about 80% of that are the farmers, which becomes very, very easy on their side as well to determine by using registered volume. So the PS users, your Eskom, they are all, we read meters and they are reaching where your red water, where we read again and we verify our meter readings.
Yes, in terms of the municipalities, whether municipalities are, we are able to blacklist, if I understood the question, whether can be blacklist the municipalities if they are not paying, because they are the ones who are not paying. We are saying at this stage, we have not considered the blacklisting, but I think what we have considered is that we are going to the flow of water, we're going to reduce the flow of water to those particular municipalities, so that at the end of the day we should be able to get them to come back to the table to pay. With regards to the write-off of interest, we agree with the members that yes, it's something that we don't need to do, but there are those interests which were incorrectly calculated, where you find that a customer has paid us, but we have delayed in terms of allocating the payments to go against those accounts, and then they end up with the interest charge. Those are the ones that we're saying will have to revisit and write off. Our farmers also owing. Yes, the farmers are also owing. And we are saying, in terms of that, they are part and parcel of those people are going to be changing. so that we can actually get our money from them. Whose responsibility is it for the kids are dying? I'll leave that as well for Ranjit to be able to claim that one. And the issue of the meter, I think we have covered a lot, I don't know, on the issue of the meter in terms of the strategy that we are
going. Look, I think when we started and when I started in this committee, this WTE was a complete mess. And I think there is some progress. So we must acknowledge that. I mean, the move from a disclaimer to a qualified report. That was a huge step forward. So whatever answer we show, that's not acknowledging the fact that there's been achievement. Okay? But you guys, you know, you remind me of my granny. She used to be very deliberate. Super time. Now you are worse than my granny. I don't know, there doesn't seem to be any spot, any light to get this thing moving quickly. See, I mean, to come here and listen, that there's still a tender outstanding. When this metering thing I've been discussing now for years, the regulations for metering have been signed as part of it. Now we still have the tender not been done. There is something somewhere. There's not a fire somewhere. I need Alpha must get the minister to appoint some fire in WTE. Because we need to move with speed, folks. We are holding back the whole development of the country in terms of infrastructure and water. If we allow people not to pay their debt, would they have actually used the water of the country? I mean, you hear 5 billion rand. When we hear the water board this time, the municipality owes them 6 billion rand. That's 11 billion rand that out of circulation and cannot be plowed back into the water infrastructure. Because people that got the money are not paying the money. I mean government departments, municipalities. What reason are they not paying? So you learned it from us that you might put some fire into this thing, my friend. Now, what I want you to do, have you a month to do this? You see that list you've given me? All those there, up to individuals. I want you to tell me, which is every water board, every water user, every company, every municipality, and da da da, every national government that owes you money. You break it down exactly as you've done it there. And you add at the end on which day you send the letter of demand to them. I know it. And you give me a copy of each letter that you sent to those of us. The individuals and others at the bottom of the page. I don't want to know every little person that's not paid the money. But if there are 8 big customers there, under individual and other, then you add them to this list. But I don't want every little other one here. Okay? Remember, we've got small attention spans and fees. So, I want all that information, plus the letter of demand, when it was sent, plus a copy of each letter that was sent to that group there. Okay? In a month's time, I want that. Then I want bi-monthly reports from WTE on the progress that has been made on receivables and on metering. Bi-monthly. So we've got this thing going. Next, this center, without cutting corners, you must move. Get this center out. I mean, the DD just spoke as if they already know which meter they want. He spoke about how they have to be calibrated and so on, so on, so on. So clearly you've got a good idea of what a meter wants. So I hear you scoping. I don't know what you call scoping, but you're scoping. Okay, that's fine. You must be diligent in the work you do. But this thing must take time. It's clear to me that you guys know already what a meter wants. So those bi-monthly reports we want. I want a regular report on the tender, how far it's going, and how quickly it's going to happen. Then, whether or not you're going to write anything off. If you're going to write anything off, we first want a report in this committee before you write anything off. If you start writing off Subtle and these ones, and these other companies, I want to know, before you actually agree to do so, we send a report here, so that we can have a look at it, so that we can ask you the reasons why you're writing that money off, and why it isn't that you couldn't collect that money. So nothing will be written off unless we have been given a report on this. I don't want to get the AG state or the Treasury state or whoever it is. The political decision is a political decision other than a technical decision behind it. Those decisions we could want to interrogate you and see whether you've done enough before we write any of the money off. And then lastly, I want to say, please, I absolutely, next year is our last year of the committee. Next year, you guys come here. I don't want to hear of anything that's outstanding. I don't want to hear about 3 years' time, we're going to do this. All these things be done before you come back here. Next year. That's the deadline. You got all those. I want immediate, in a month's time, a report with breakdown, with the letters. I can see that we've done it. I want 5 monthly reports on those two issues, the metering and how the receivables, the collection is going. The tender, we want regular reports, we want you to move fast, and there's no write-off unless you first table the other things, and they're interrogating you on it. Okay? Well, that covers all the issues. Okay? All right. And again, as I say, whatever hesitation we show, we do not, not that we don't recognize what has been done. I went in there and I looked at some of that stuff, and it was a complete utter mess over years and years and years. So I know what you guys are fixing up. But you guys must realize that some of this here is unforgivable. The fact that national governments and provincial governments owe you money is unforgivable. The fact that municipalities and water boards owe you money is unforgivable. It's just unforgivable. The fact that companies owe you money. Now lastly, I want to say, you guys have to be much tougher now as we go forward. There has to be a sanction if people don't do things. Over and above you, you're creating a company that's going to collect this money. That's a legal process. But for example, all these water boards and municipalities and so on, those are run by politicians. Political interventions can be made. The acknowledgement of debt. You should give minister copies of all the acknowledgements of debt. The minister can intervene with these political entities and take time on the dotted line. And by when you're going to pay this money. So there's two processes. One is the legal that you must do. Otherwise things can prescribe. But the political process is the one where you can put fire. Please, next year, this is all sorted, huh? And I don't want to hear next year that you're not the CFO. And someone else is the CFO. I've given you the responsibility of Ms. Mokokane and men there, the DDG. You guys must now see that the new CFO does this stuff. So I don't want to hear next year, well, the CFO didn't know what the report is in. Then, you two, tell them before any answer for these two of them, man. I don't care where they are. All right. That is. Okay. All right. Some movement, but not enough. Now, yes, ma'am.
There's one question about fencing of the Magdalene Canal where the two kids drowned week before last. We are looking at putting up a fence in all our canals, and we have been doing it in around the country. The challenge that we're having is that you put the fence today, the following day it's gone, it just vanishes. So running parallel with the other process that we're implementing, we see our security strategy. Because some of our infrastructure are even missing and keep on looking at also a security strategy that is also looking at technologies that we can put in place to make sure that our strategies are sustainable. The normal bank just doesn't. But we're having a meeting with the Northern Operations team to look at what it is that we can put. We can't wait for strategy because kids have come. The second in all other hot costs.
Alright, so that's finished. Now, the rest of the next two days, we're going to deal with water boards. Yeah, we're also going to get very agitated.
I've taken my agitation pills this morning. The water board, we've been engaging with, I think, two occasions that I've been here, and we have seen some improvement in that time, in most of them. Some of them have just, are basically dead, and I just kill them. But that will is a process that's really going on. But the water board, the more I think about it, the more they could be a very useful tool to government. But of course, for many reasons of their own incapacity, but also because of factors outside, mainly people not paying them, they get retarded to some extent in their work. And one has to acknowledge that even sometimes it's their own fault, not collecting money and so on. So I really want us to concentrate on water boards. It's not all the little detail we want. It's really the important stuff. It's really what are their infrastructure plans, how well did they do the infrastructure last year, what are their new plans, what is the funding for it, and how far are they with collecting their debts. And those are the issues that we have to concentrate on. The things that are going to make them efficient and effective. Not all the little details of it, unless some corruption or the other, but so please bear this in mind in the input, that we're not interested in every little detail, what time you get up, what time you drink tea, and so on. It's really concentrating on infrastructure, the kind of work you do, how we're going to pay for it, and then how we're going to get the debt paid that hasn't been paid, and how far you got with collection of it. So please, let's concentrate on that in the next few days. Now, usually when we start off, we get an input first from the department to give us an overview of all of it so that we have a plan. When we get to each one, we know what questions to ask. Then we usually ask Treasury and the AG any comments they may have and problems they've experienced and good things they have found and so on, so on, so on. And then we give SAGA an opportunity because clearly SAGA is one of the clients to these water boards, or their municipalities are, give us opportunity to raise whatever issues they want to raise. And then we start with the water boards, and I usually start with the bigger ones so that we get to the bigger picture, and then get to the problematic ones at the end so that when the agitation is there, you can actually walk out of the meeting without disrupting the meeting itself. So we try and do that again in this way. Also, there's a document that our researcher has drafted. I hope you have a copy. He has done some research for us. I have asked him to make a copy and circulate it this morning, so it looks like this. So if they haven't seen Seleka, Tumani must give you a copy and circulate it to the members. Give them information. He's done some research. Okay. Okay, so those are the issues. Mr. Alfred Miller, the retiree, or future retiree, is in charge of all the stuff today and for the next day. So let's see the retiree in the end, especially his post, is able to do us proud around the water board. Alfred, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable Chair, honourable members, and good morning. Also to the colleagues from the water boards and Tonga and other areas.
Sorry, I didn't say, I imagine all of you are here, let me just say welcome to all of you.
Chair, let me also, I know you apologize, your formal apology from the Acting Director General, Sir Belton, he has another commitment to the Minister. I will not introduce our total team, you've met them yesterday, the other colleagues, but the newcomers today is, you all know, Togo Sikwaza, the Chief Director Institute for Oversight. She has been with you many times, but at least here you can compliment her on continuity that she keeps on.
I
think we will keep her
compliment. And the one thing we can compliment this department on, she's the only one that doesn't get moved. Thank God. At least we know who to thank.
She's also two other members from her team, Suzanne Boishidi, just right behind me. She's the Director of Water Resource Pricing and Finance, and Linda Herbst, next to her also, the Director there. Then also, we invited our regional heads, that's in those areas where the water boards I see they're hiding right up in the gully. We need them to come down and support us. We need all the support.
Can
the
regional head come down, please? And can I
it's Mr. Henry Smith, regional head something, and actually he's talking to regional head.
Okay, both of you come down and come and sit here and see you, where I can throw something at you.
Thank you.
Welcome, Doko. Bring me good news this year, please.
Yes, sir.
Come in, we've got time to spare.
Honorable members, thank you very much for this opportunity again. It really is ready to come to Parliament once a year. So that we can give you an input of the progress that we have made and also to the challenges that we are facing as a sector. I think the purpose of this presentation today, we will provide you a consolidated overview of the Water Board in terms of their performance for 2011-2012 financial year, and we will also look at their plans for the 5 years coming. We will also provide you an overview of the progress that we have made in terms of the institutional reform and realignment as per your request. And I understand that Mimi just started yesterday to give you the progress that has been made. We still have 12 water boards in the country that are reporting to the minister. And the next slide indicates that these water boards, although they are governed by the same legislation, they vary in size in terms of the volume of water they supply, their service area, and also their customers. I think if you can look at the operational expenses, you can see a wide range and a difference in terms of their size. In that rent was alone, their operational expenses are about 6.3 billion. And in terms also of the volumes of water that have been...
Can I ask you something? I should have asked, I clean forgot it when I saw this now. Can someone in your unit make a map of each water board, which areas they cover, particularly the name of the municipality in that area. So some of them use water boards, some of them don't. So I only want the names of the municipalities in that area which use water boards, okay? So that we have that information here so that we can see when we look at each water board. Say one of your people using the newsletter and make a map of each water board by the municipalities that they serve, okay?
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I think as you can see in that consolidation, the figures for Gutsilo are not included because their annual report was not submitted by the end of December, but we could inform the Speaker of Parliament about it. And continuing with the overview in terms of the volumes, you see that rent water, in terms of the volumes of water that they supply, and compared, the next one is Mgeni Water, and the rest are sort of moderate in terms of the volumes of water supply. If we touch on the government, Chair, I think you are familiar with this one, it's just maybe for new members, that the Board of Water Boards are appointed by the Minister for a term of 4 years and for a maximum of 3 consecutive terms. And the performance of water boards is very much dependent on the capabilities and the performance of the board. We emphasize that the board members is an expert-based board. In terms of their compliance, they do have legislated compliance that they need to comply with. They need to produce policy statements in terms of every 5 years. They also submit business plan and shareholder compact on an annual basis to the minister. They also submit the tariff submissions each year, the quarterly reports, and also the annual report. In terms of the audited financial performance, I think there has been a huge improvement. As you can see, the 10 of the 12 water boards they received unqualified audit opinion with only Amadona, which got a qualified report. But in terms of their performance, there is improvement, because last year when we appeared, they had a deficit of 40 million and they have brought that down to 8 million. And in their presentation, they indicate that. The Buzilo annual report was only submitted this week, so it's not included in the presentation. In terms of statutory compliance with the shareholder convert, I think there is also a huge improvement. 76% of all costs they submitted on time, and also 34% with good content. And I think the progress is set itself in terms of the indicators that are outlined in the shareholder complaint. I think same with the business planning, there is a positive improvement with 58% in terms of good business plans, and also the performance, 61% is adequate. In terms of the consolidated annual report, you will see that in terms of the revenue, in terms of sales, the consolidated figure is that the water board, they made 10.5 billion in terms of the sales for the 11-12 financial year. And 1.9 billion.
How much did you say?
10.5 billion in terms of the sales of water.
Oh, up there.
Yes. And also in terms of the cost of sales, you will realize that the raw water is a critical indicator in terms of the cost driver, which amounts to about 3.5 billion of the cost. And also if you look at the direct labor, in terms of job creation, I think we did well. When water was present, they will indicate the number of jobs created, but 1.9 billion went to job creation. So I think we are meeting government objectives in terms of job creation. And I think the next slide just indicates where there are significant variances. I think
what does gross profit mean?
It's the profit before you, the net profit.
That's
important. Thank you. It's not to be real. You really have to deduct all these costs, say, the chemicals, the energy cost, which is also one
cost. What's the difference, okay, let me ask this. What's the difference between cost of sale and operating cost? What's cost of sale, 3 billion rand?
Yes, that one is related mainly to raw water.
Oh, it's the product that they buy,
yes,
which they owe us.
Yes, what are
2 billion in any case, so yes. All right, no, I see. So that's why it's hard because they haven't paid us. Okay.
Okay, we'll see. Which one.
Okay, I think you should also know what the energy cost, because in the coming slides, and in terms of all our presentations, that is the...
No, I understand operating costs.
Okay.
I just wasn't clear, but now I understand the bulk of the
cost. Okay. So the next one just highlights the critical, where there was a significant variance in terms of the maintenance cost and other costs.
Sorry, this is very...
Yes.
What is that?
It's the variance between what was budgeted and what was actual.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So those would have underspent and the pluses would have overspent.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
So there's a few overspent and a few underspent.
But there was a positive in terms of operating profit, it was 4.78.
Okay.
And in terms of the revenue, I think we have already touched it, that the bulk of it comes from rainwater, 64.9%, and also 14.9 comes from Umgeni water. So in terms of the whole, that 10 billion 64% of it's kind of water is 49% really water. And in terms of the volumes, it also indicates that 61% of the volume comes from water, rainwater, and 17% from Ngeni water. In terms of the capital expenditure shared, one that you are more interested in, I think we budgeted to spend 2.4 billion in 11-12 financial year, and we managed to do 2.1 billion. And I think 1.4 billion came from rainwater in terms of investment, and about 500 million from Ngeni water. So you can see that the water board is the issue of surpluses that is already, it's always debated. They do plow back in terms of capital investment in the sector. In terms of the surplus and deficit,
Ghani, that's an underspend from Ghani again, the 104. That's about
the budget is 590 and
I understand that. Bloom underspend 61 and rainwater 52. That's a big one.
Yes.
The big the sale of defaulted, okay.
Yes. But it's better than last year's sale, if you remember where the Ghani water comes from in terms of under expenditure.
Yeah, 400,000.
In terms of the surplus and deficit, I think fairly water boards were positive. It's only Amadora and Bushbuck Ridge that ran into the deficit. Amadora, I think I have explained that although it's still a deficit, but they are coming from a 40 million rand deficit from the previous financial year. So they have done well in terms of reducing that 40 to 7.9 million this year. And then Bushbuck Ridge, I think mainly because of the problem with Bushbuck Ridge, they are still in the deficit of 0.9 million. So then we come to tariffs. I think I should go slow on this one because it is the critical one. This slide, it indicates the tariffs that were tabled to Parliament on the 15th of March. We have, we are going to circulate the detailed two-page spreadsheet because some water boards, they have got more than one customer, so you will see where we could help funds. Like Mahan will have more than maybe three or four tariffs, different tariffs. But that is an average tariff that is tabled on the 15th of March. And what happens around that time was that NERSA also made a decision to reduce the tariff, the energy cost from 60%, which was requested by ESCOM, to 8% average for the household. And then what happened is at that time we were not ready to submit to Parliament because it was too late. So our submission was tabled in Parliament based on the 16% projection of energy costs. So what the minister said to Water Board was that after the tabling, then the Water Board will have to adjust tariffs accordingly based on the NERSA decision. And then what has happened is that NERSA has then made a decision of a tariff adjustment to 9.6 of energy cost for urban and industrial users. We have requested Water Board to adjust accordingly, and in their presentation they will be indicating how they have adjusted. But here we still need to meet with NERSA and Water Board and the ESCO because the interpretation of the 9.63 is confusing because there are some additional components that we are still not clear how NERSA has calculated them in terms of the environmental levy that they have introduced and also the other costs. So it's going to take us maybe another month to finalize the whole adjustment of tariffs. And also in the tariff table, you will remember that Mungeni Water have got the CCTA, the chemical unit charge, the 41 cents per kiloliter. So we haven't included it in the table. We have just noted it. So in terms of the debate, the way that the tariffs have been calculated, I think the main issue is the debate whether the tariff should be based on the consumer price index increase, which is only 5.6%, or whether we need to look at other cost drivers. We have come up with an indicative internal inflation for each water board, whereby we look at the main cost drivers, like the chemicals, the staff, the energy, and the raw water. I think you should remember that all these costs, the water costs, are just price takers. It's beyond their, I think it's the cost that they need to build in into the tariff. So the chemicals, the staff, salaries are debated at the bargaining chamber, and water costs have got no much say on those issues, and the energy, and also the cost of the raw water. So in terms of the current initiative.
Let's go back to that page on the tariff.
Yes.
What is tariff 2012-13 and average tariff? What is average tariff? 13 and 14. The first column and the second column, what's the difference? The first column is the actual increase you're giving plus all this other explanation about further costs. What is the second column? Average tariff. For 2013-2014, what is that?
Oh.
It's not that one, it's the previous time.
Oh,
slide.
Yes.
What is the second? I can't understand the second column. Average tariff for 2013-2014.
Yes, the 2013 is what you Parliament approved last year. And then the 2014 is what was tabled in March 15.
Oh, so this is the actual one, the
yes.
second one?
Yes.
And then just to compare it to the previous
yes.
one? Okay, right,
yes.
Okay,
and then at the last column, it indicates that the average increase, for example, for Amatola, it's about 58 cents. Those are not 58 rand. It's 58 cents.
Yeah.
58
there,
cents,
yeah.
44 cents, 58 cents. Yes.
Per kiloliter.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I understand what it is. Okay, go back to where you were.
Okay. Then in terms of the tariff, we are continuing to work on improving the tariff. Submissions and the tariff determination. It is not perfect as yet. We have embarked on the sector funding model project and the raw water pricing strategy and also the economic regulation, which are the projects that are going to help us in terms of the analyzing of tariffs and also in building capacity and strengthening us within the department to analyze the tariffs.
I don't like that word. I see the economic regulation of the water sector value chain, but I'm not going to say anything again. But I see that words are there again. Okay, go.
So we have removed independence.
I know that the only thing you removed. Okay.
In terms of the water board viability, I think we have passed on it. I think it remains a challenge that Butilo and Bushbuckridge, they remain a challenge in terms of financial viability. And I think in the slides that are coming, I will be explaining a lot of the institutional realignment, how we are going to sort that one out. And also Amazona, I think in terms of the, it's mainly due to their low tariff structure and exposure to secondary activities which they are working on, and they have reduced their deficit from 40 million to 7.9 million.
Are you going to deal with the four water boards you're getting rid of?
at the end.
So you're going to leave it till last?
Yes.
All right. Because I'm still under viability, that's the place to get it. But okay.
Yes.
I'll wait
there. Okay. Chair, I think we have the issue of the Botilo and the annual report. I think because of the problems that Botilo has faced. But Rainwater is now the caretaker in Botilo. So there is huge improvement. And in terms of the debt, that is owed by municipalities to water boards. By as of February 2013, water boards were owed 1.4 billion, of which 1 billion was over 120 days. And here, this is an old debt. I think it involves disputes. You know, you are aware of the dispute between Bushbuck Ridge and the Bushbuck local municipality. And Sedibeng and Machabeng, all those, Botilo and Ngakamodiri Molema, I think we are working very hard in terms of facilitating those disputes. But the water boards that are mainly affected is Botilo, Bushbuck Ridge, Sedibeng, and to some extent, Libele and Bluewater. I think on top of that slide, the main thing is that the minister has established a ministerial task team, which is consisting of National Treasury, Dwasa, Gakosa, and Water User Association. And we have developed some strategies of how to deal with the issues. And National Treasury has identified those critical water boards and municipalities, and we are working together in terms of intervening. In terms of the other key initiatives that we have done, in terms of overseeing water boards, it's the alignment of the reporting framework.
Have you got here for the arrears?
If
I'm going to break down the specific municipalities.
Okay. Okay. Chair, we
can... Someone do that urgently for
us. Yes.
Break down under each of the water boards. The same as you got here. So
okay.
Just break it down as per municipality, okay?
Okay.
Is this available? We can make it available.
I'm sure it is.
Just that this doesn't help us much. It gives you a global thing, but it doesn't show you whether it's a lot of municipalities, it's one municipality or whatever.
Thank you, Chair. When they present, they also have got the slide.
Oh, okay. Good. No, that'll be fine. We don't need it. We've got it there. We don't need it again.
Okay. In terms of the reporting framework, we have improved in terms of a database to store historical financial information for all water boards in order to be able to track and report on trends on what is happening in terms of performance. We have also...
You have got a database there.
Yes.
Doing it.
We are doing it.
How far are you?
It will be ready by 1st of July.
Everything will be by 1st July?
Yes.
Okay,
I'll hold you to that. Okay. In terms of also the continuation of database in terms of business planning as well, and also the revision of the shareholder compact. We have introduced new performance measures and targets that are very specific and measurable that are included in the shareholder compact. And also in terms of quarterly reports, if the shareholder compact is clear, then
it's... So that's all part of your stress then, your stress then, there's a part.
Yes.
So those targets you set for them?
Yes.
Reflect in your stress then. So they must meet it so that you can meet a stress then. Is that right? Yes? Some people say yes,
CFO
is looking towards the sky over there also.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes, we try to improve the transition.
There's not an improvement, I'm just wanting to make sure that I have to meet your target for you to meet your target.
Okay. Thanks. And then we also have a slide if you want to listen to it, the responses that were raised last year. I think we can leave them for you to read before I present.
Yeah, members can see the one to follow up.
Yes.
Okay.
And then
very effective of your talker to do that. So which page do we go to now?
We can go.
Members can just check that if you want to follow up anything, okay?
I think
so the next one is summary and conclusion.
Yes, because maybe we just want to do the institutional realignment. Because you wanted to.
Is it? But after conclusion?
Yes.
Why do I do the way after the conclusion? I mean, I thought it would be your major conclusion. That chair, you will not have problems from these water boards ever again, because they won't be there. That I thought would be a major conclusion. But okay, you now add after. So it's called rationale for the reform.
Yes.
So, progress on institutional reform and realignment.
Yes.
Okay.
Chair, I think the big positive thing that has happened is that the National Development Plan has supported us there. We have that statement from the National Development Plan that they are supporting us in terms of creating and expanding the mandate of existing water boards by 2017. And if you look at the rationale,
yeah, what... Of course, the committee said it before the national plan.
Yes.
I suppose they asked you to explain to the water board why they've been disbanded. Okay, use the national plan, rather.
The rationale for these reforms is because there is weak performance in the management of water supply and sanitation services in many municipalities, which means that those who are not served, there is a delay in providing services to the poor. There is also an issue around the responsibility for regional bulk services, which is not clear in the sector. There is also a problem with currently existing marginal water boards that are not financially viable, and also the mandate of regional bulk is not well defined in legislation, and we have found that water boards in which... Who
what does that mean? Number four, what does it mean? I can read it, but I don't know what it means. The mandate of regional bulk is not well defined in legislation.
Yes.
What does that mean?
In terms of water services, the municipalities are responsible for bulk, and the water boards are responsible for bulk. But there is a bigger issue of regional, at a regional scale. For those schemes that are not, that cross boundaries across municipalities. So that is not legislated as to who is responsible for that.
Give me an example. I hear what you're saying, I can't think what it means. But what is an example of something that crosses boundaries? A municipality is a municipality, doesn't it?
Which scheme crosses...
What is this?
It's legislation, we should change it.
It's a bulk of municipal boundary, but it's a typical water board to provide water across municipal boundaries, take it out where they take it from.
Over
municipal boundaries. So whereas the water resources is steered by the central function, water services at a municipal level is a municipal function. This inter between municipalities that what you call regional carrying across municipal boundaries. That is not so clear. But that's where water boards typically operate.
And this is why you find that some of the original schemes, the assets have been transferred to municipalities because there is no institution at the regional level who have got capacity to legislate to receive those assets. So we are trying to solve this as well. And here we are finding that water boards who are operating in urban and mine areas are more economically viable, whereas those who are operating the former homeland are struggling. And we feel that the regulation framework for water boards is not currently effective. The slide indicates what is currently happening in that a lot of water boards are still operating in urban areas, in metro, and then in terms of the secondary cities, you can see that they are also there. But where the greatest need is in Bihor, which is a rural municipality, you find that bus services are not well
provided. So A is metro?
Metro, A.
B, one is?
Secondary cities. Secondary cities like Richards Bay, Samaritan Bay.
B2?
B2, large, with large towns.
Large towns, like Pittsburgh of our.
Yes.
B3?
B3, small towns.
Like Pittsburgh of our.
And before the rural, predominantly rural municipalities where there's no town as an anchor for economy.
No, this is a fascinating chart. I'm absolutely stunned that metros are served largely by water boards.
Mm.
Whereas I actually thought in my own mind it was the other way around.
Mm.
All right, I think we must come back to this and do an analysis of this because this is very fascinating. This is completely the opposite of what I had the impression of. Over 2 years, I had an impression.
Mm.
So it must be Rand water that, of course, makes a difference in Gauteng and Umgeni. That must make up a big plus. Because Cape Town is not in the water board.
No.
PE, not in the water board. The huge city of Bloemfontein.
Bloemfontein.
Oh, it is Bloemfontein. The eight metros, I think there's only two that's not served by water board. That's Cape Town and Nelson Mandela. The rest are all served by water board.
They also do some of their own, isn't it? So they also, to some extent, and then they also do their own. But those two don't have at all. So it's only PE and Cape Town.
Mm.
Ibai and Cape Town. Okay.
Chair,
I need to have a look at that chart and engage further, but I'll come back to it. Okay.
Chair, I think that one is just indicating in the profile of water board, and we have touched on the number, except that the staff of all water boards is about 6,282, with about 2,900 in Rand water and about 800 in Ngeni water. And then, yeah. And in terms of the access, I think if you look at the regional scale, you will see that water boards have infrastructure of about 160 billion combined. But as you can see, there's a lot of infrastructure lies at local government, in terms of 370 billion.
Sorry, just let me have a look at it. It's infrastructure management, current assets.
National,
regional,
and local.
The real water.
Regional,
that's
RW, or UW.
Block with many colors. The green one is Rand water and Ngeni water, and all the
other
water.
Oh, I see,
all
I see.
The
other little
water.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that's at that level in the metro. Okay, so again, an interesting chart. Very interesting. Very interesting. Okay, go on.
Okay, so the key reform principles that why we want to go for regional water utilities. We want, or in terms of principles, we are respecting local government money. I think the South Government is very clear. We are not going to impact on the constitutional mandate, but we do want to accept the Dwa regional infrastructure mandate. That Dwa should have a footprint at regional scale. We also want to balance subsidiarity with economies of scale, because Rand water tells me that water is a volumetric business, and if we don't...
We don't want to undermine local government or provincial government, but where there is failing, we clearly are sick and tired of waiting for the failing, and we have to put measures in place to sort out the failing. And if that means them retaining their powers, but that they don't operationalize it, it's done to other agencies, then that must be done.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the way that we've been talking about this issue. This committee, in any case, may not be the position of SAGA or the municipalities or even COPTA, but it's very clear that we can't go on like we're going on. It is just wrong. without undermining their mandate, but making sure that they operationalize things.
I think we want to create incentives for good outcomes and also to maintain financial viability and enhance ability to raise capital. This is why you see that we are saying those water projects cannot raise capital in the market. They do not fit the criteria to be a water board. And we also want to have national subsidies to promote social objectives. Because as you can see that when water boards are venturing into rural money, they need to be subsidized because then the payment is very weak. And we need to maintain capacity and reform incrementally. And the four questions that...
What is the can creation of regional water utilities?
Fill the regional infrastructure gap and it improves the environment.
What is a regional water utility? What are you thinking of?
It's little water board. So exactly the problem that, if you can take an example, like we discussed yesterday, my chairperson.
But why are we saying can we create it? Because we've got them already, but the water board. The only issue is whether we extend their mandate or expand or rationalize them.
You could.
It's not whether we create it.
You could.
Thank you. So you're saying really to relook water boards and see whether we want to make those that are not viable to make them viable.
Mm.
And who made the decision originally? Which municipalities are under a water board? Is it a voluntary process? Or was there for example, who decided Joburg and not Cape Town? I mean, would be under a water board.
The service from water.
Is it legislated? Is it what?
I would say it's more than used to be. It's looking with something that happened in the past. It was a good model for that time. It happened on historic reasons.
You created the utility, and they started doing the work with it.
And what we're actually saying is since 1994, the water board landscape has not really been retained. And exactly for that purpose, we say that it doesn't serve the rules of the great need. That, I think that's one extent. It hasn't been reshaped.
Okay. Actually, let's see if you can, someone can write that history up for us, our development model. I'm very fascinated to find out because I think a lot of the mistakes and the problems we're seeing is probably the way it was done. Okay. All right, next one.
Chair, we are starting to go to recommendation one is to address underperforming and marginal water boards through consolidation.
Right. Well, we're all waiting for you now to get to the punchline. You've given us principles. You've given us reform principles. You've danced around the issue. Now tell us what are the four that you want. What do you want to do with
them?
Not that step dancing, doctor. Do the chakra.
The main thing is that minister has agreed, approved that we consolidate from 12.
Water
was
9,
was yes. It? Yes.
And now, take the next step,
Dr.
Plunge. Take the
plunge. And then the next step, legislative, requires that the minister...
Plunge. What are we saying, Whitman, go where? Yesterday you were telling us that, I think it was Bocello, must go sometimes, some of them go to Makhali, some of them go...
Yes.
Oh,
no.
That's what I'm waiting for,
Stoko. Okay. Thank you, sir. I was not here, so I don't know when
I'm
meeting, but it's revealed.
It's
okay.
I told you, one of the things I wanted to hear today is what are the proposals for reform of water boards. Now tell me,
The main proposal is that the two that are going to go because of non-financial viability and structural issues where they are located is Budzilo and Bushbuckridge. And Budzilo will be split into two. One part which falls under sediment area will go to sediment area and another component will go to Makhali. And a Bushbuck Ridge is going to go to rainwater. And the third one, which is Peradrift,
It's
a little town. I thought it doesn't exist anymore.
I thought we had disbanded. Didn't we disband it?
No, we disbanded Namakwa. Yes.
Isn't Silla Drift the one on the Power River, on the Orange River, the Khari?
Yes.
Yeah, we're two towns.
But we have
that. Is that all?
We have said that Pella Drift is going to be incrementally consolidated into sediment, because currently there is a cash cow, there are mines there that are putting their own infrastructure. So, but
it's always sediment.
Yes, in the future. Yes.
So that the three that are completely unviable ones.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So and those are the plans so far. They're not what as a plan.
Yes.
Just to understand clearly.
Yes. Those are
that makes all change, of course.
Yes.
But at least we now know what to engage on.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And then the scope will is going
but
to
now,
change.
The other issue is the issue of liability. Some of the other that you now not going to change, what are the plans for viability to increase them? I mean, Amatola is a prime example.
Yes.
Amatola does, is close to a big city, but it does a lot of municipal stuff and it doesn't do the bulk water to the extent that you can add one good efforts. Now, what are our plans in terms of the other principles you said, in terms of the others that are not that viable? What are our proposals? Or don't you have proposals yet?
Can we have proposals? The first thing that we are proposing is a new rural water support facility, which is still going to be discussed.
What is your rural what?
Water support facility, which is still going to be debated between ourselves and National Treasury, because we feel that there are areas that need a water bus, like the Eastern Cape. But they really need, because the municipalities there are very weak. And so you need a regional entity. But for that regional entity, like Amatola, it will need to be funded substantially initially for entity to reach the state to be a regional entity. So this is why we are saying there needs to be a rural water subsidy to support areas that were former homelands like Amatola. Expansion. And we are proposing that the area of Amatola is going to be expanded. And the
liberty... Include the old time kind.
Yes.
Or maybe they include the society, but the old time kind.
Yeah. And then the area of liberty, this is where a lot of
What stops Amatola to and the department to approach all those regional municipalities in the old Songhai and actually start providing services? What stops?
Chair,
I mean, you assume that they're going to pay for the service.
Yeah. I think, Chair, when...
And that big M week, for old Songhai, the big M week cost to actually improve the infrastructure in that area. There is money already to create the infrastructure, which is what water boards usually do.
Yes.
But then to provide the service, it's an extension of the service that then has to happen.
Yes. So we have,
I'm trying to think, you know, you say expand a water board. I'm trying to think, what does it mean? I mean, you told me it's a kind of a voluntary process, so you're not going to say in law the municipality of Mutata is now going to fall under the water board. It is a question of a service being provided.
Yes.
And then they take up the service, they sign contract with you, and you then do it. I'm trying to think, I mean, you know, the interesting thing is that the whole chart you showed us, that rural areas are not really included in the water board.
Mm.
You showed us the map yesterday that the dark brown was there. That awesome. You. You don't get in the much part of Limpopo, part of from Sky, where the brown don't get water board. So, I mean, I'm not sure, I mean, of course you would want to speak to Treasury to see, but what are we going to speak about? If M-Week creates the infrastructure,
Then
the water board can help. And when you guys speak to those municipalities, the water board can be the agency through which they do this stuff. I mean, some of the
Well, I'm not sure that Emma told us about the capacity, but of course you can train from that. But I mean, see, what I'm trying to say is we must get past discussing and saying, well, we want to expand. I mean, the expanding of the water board is because you don't have to need any decisions from Treasury or anyone. It's a question of you guys getting your act together with that water board and helping it create a capacity to do the new job. And the M Week seems to me be the gap to open for you to get in there. Okay.
Chair, yes, Tom wasn't part of the debate yesterday. I think it was your debate yesterday about all these grants and how can we change some of the conditions of the grants. Some data may also end, but in many cases the water boards, some of the municipalities exactly weaker ones don't want to use the water board. Or they just use it for a short period until the problem is over and then they leave them. I think
between you and your friend in Treasury there, when you get those meetings on the M Week, you either say to them, you make your decision by this time or we take away. The grant allows you to take the money away from the municipality and then you create the block infrastructure. That is how you capacitate them at all. You help them get people that can do it from rainwater. Rainwater is a lot of spare people sitting around doing nothing. You get them to come and help Amatola, and then the capacity there, and then you start putting in the infrastructure, and then you provide a service on them. I mean, this seems to be so simple. I mean, it's an easy way to do it. I mean, I think M Week is going to open a lot of doors for us. M Week is going to open doors, okay? All right, so that is it.
Thanks, and then...
are there any others you want to expand?
Yes, rainwater is going to be expanded to include the Tugela part, where the Tugela water partnership was, where it collapsed. And the Bembe is going to... they're going to be a huge investment on the Bembe because it currently is small. And Limpopo, this is where a lot of support is needed. So it's going to be five times.
You want to expand into Limpopo?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, for the whole of Limpopo.
Limpopo into Limpopo, you make KwaZulu, which is the other problem, bigger, and you wear that prop, you get them gaining there because they're more organized.
Yes.
Matole into the Eastern Cape.
Yes.
And then Northwest will be sediment.
And Makali.
And Makali tells yes. Northwest.
Yes. And then Bloom remains in the center. And then okay. Rainwater also will take up the whole valley, the area of the Oliver.
All right, so those are the plans to try and make it more viable. And the idea is really to move more into the rural areas, but also in some of these to make sure there's at least a urban base as well,
yes.
The weaker ones, the BLA. Yes.
Over that remains care, although it's not regional, but we still need a plan for the...
No, you must think about that overboard. It's so small. It's not a viable proposition. I mean, it doesn't work well, done, but I mean, you can't keep it that size. Either it must expand it and do away with it. I mean, it's just, you know, gets money and pays it out. So you must either expand it, manage. I know that there aren't many problematic municipalities in the Western Cape as there are in the rest of the country, but still, you have to think about Overberg. I mean, you're saying you want to create viable industry. Overberg is not a viable industry. It is a well-running industry, not a viable industry. Okay?
Okay.
You have to give more thought to that.
Yes.
Maybe I can move into the southern part of the Eden Cape. There's also possible problems there. But that I leave to you to look at. All right, then come back to your conclusion.
Sure, I think in terms of the performance of water boards, I think they did reasonably well this financial year. And,
skip the summary. What's the summary conclusion? Don't have to listen to that. You can read it.
Yes, I think...
Okay, read it and... Go to those recommendations that you were.
And I think the levels of compliance also improved from water boards. And I think they are really an asset in the country if we want to deliver infrastructure And yeah, I think we just need to congratulate them for doing well in terms of 11 jobs.
Your biggest recommendation here should have been a discussion we had yesterday. The Treasury will kindly look upon changing their funding model as far as municipalities are concerned that are serviced by water bills. But I see you also too scared to put it in.
Yeah.
All right, is that it?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, I must say it's a very, very good input. Very well done. Some of those charts I find quite amazing. It tells you a story that you don't get by listening to water boards. That's quite fantastic. So well done on that. And it also looks to me as if we're really going forward with our water boards. I mean, I'm so glad to see there's only one qualified report. It's amazing. Great stuff. 2 years is indefinite movement on water boards. So we have to congratulate everyone involved. Of course, we're going to get the ones that haven't done well. We'll get them to now. But I think as a general comment, we start looking at water board as a very, very important asset for us to deal with some of the problems we have with service delivery in the water area, and therefore need to capacitate and deal with them and so on. Of course, I don't like this concept that they have board stuff. Directors, I personally see that you're not removing that from there, and that I'm going to fight with you so very much as a department. I don't want, you know, we don't have those boards. And every water board has got its own board of directors, but it's not always creating a problem. But I will engage you with that. You haven't mentioned it in this document again. Not a single word about it, and you know how I feel about it, and this committee does it well. Okay, that's the input. I don't want members to engage on the issues because that we're going to do in the water board come on. Just if there are clarities and things that you don't understand that we need to take, let's get that. Because remember, these inputs we're taking now are preparing us to be able to engage with the water board. And the question about the water board, we have to ask each water board. Okay? We can only ask the department about the bigger governance. So please, just bear that in mind in the question. Mahathir Kalal?
Chairperson, it's good listening to Togo when she presents. But I just want to congratulate or say thanks to the Ungeni Water Board for what they've done for the people from Makumulo. You have done such a good job there that those people, they even said they're themselves that spiritually and physically they are free because now they are able to get clean water where they are, because they used to draw water from those rivers, they say, their stock, their what, you know, congratulations. And there was a thought that it's going to affect quite a number of areas in KZN, that is Ungeni Water. Chairperson, I think if somebody has done something good, they need to say thank you.
I was hoping you're going to wait till Ungeni comes, Ma, and then you'll say thanks.
Maybe I'll be here by then.
I can promise you it'll be in the course of today, Ma. I don't want us to engage specific water boards because I only want us to engage when they come because they're not going to answer now. Okay? So when if you raise something about a water board, they'll answer later.
I was listening to the plan made by the department. Congratulations, God bless you, because that is going to help the rest of mankind. Why? Because water is life. We're all here having these bottles each and every time we meet. Why? Because without this is the best first aid to each and every one of us. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Rogers first.
Thanks. So I wanted to get on my high horse about district municipalities, but perhaps I should leave that later. But just to echo what you said, the particular slide that indicates areas or towns in categories serviced by water boards versus municipalities tells us directly that we've got a rural problem and that we need to deal with it. But I'd like to debate that further later. My question, Chair, just on a point of parity under income, is they talk about other income being 27% higher than budget, and then other comprehensive income is 49.9% higher. Could I just get clarity on the difference there, and what that income, what the source of income is, Chair?
Mr. Kosana, and then Mark Manganya.
Thank you, Chair. Let me take the presentation made by Mr. Wadigwad. It shows that in the democratic dispensation, we're moving somewhere than yesterday. Now, this proposal of extending or expansion of water boards like Libelle and Sibelius set up that principle. Let's make sure that we follow it up and move very fast in order to complete the course. Don't want an incomplete course, the rest of the year, for the year, pushing one thing, expanding, no, because we are there. And you make sure that you move very fast. That's the first input. And secondly, also we must welcome the amalgamation of the different water boards that have got some challenges. But even that process must be handled with care. It must not affect those water boards. Instead, it must assist during the amalgamation. It must be to be part of the package in which you are amalgamating them. Must not be feel that people who have been absorbed, not even given a space to cope within the system that are amalgamating. And in those are few comments, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. We'll first thank the department. I just want to mention this. In the first time, when Honorable Doni came to chair this meeting, I didn't like the Department of Water because there were so many things that I don't understand, and then I feel agitated when I was sitting. I must say, when we talk to you and say this, that one we don't want it because of land filtering, doesn't mean we don't support the department. I must thank the chairperson, even during the difficulty where there were problems in the water department, the chairperson will be able to deal with this difficult question. And now we can see the proof that the chairperson was driving to get. Today we are here with the Department of Water. Nevertheless, the smaller mistakes that they are there. Yesterday, I was convinced by Mr. Gwaga. All the time they didn't speak about the problems that they were having. But so, Honorable Chairperson, yesterday we did hear that the department is working so hard, but is that they don't tell this committee when it's not their jurisdiction of work. So I must say this, Honorable Chair, I must thank you and the committee and the Department of Water. Now they have seen the light. They are coming where we want them to be. Thank you very much.
I think those words are very wise. Dr. Kwan, not about me, but about the department.
Thank you, Shepard. Thank you for your presentation. I think yesterday's meeting also highlighted for the 12th, the water board reduced to the 9. Then today you indicated for the list 3, water board will be reduced and moved to the some water board.
I think from the inside, the water, this new water board is at 500 pounds. It's right. 500 pounds. Also must be moved to the other water board. So, if you move this one to the one board to the other board combined together, so its efficiency is more than to the same individual for the running for the own business after a few years. I see the little overburden. It's saying 6 million water per year. It can over only for 22 million. So this one, why not reduce? Because also very small. So I just follow your detail inside the three water ports is total is selling is 46 million kilo water. Yeah. So this 500 ton, these are including the all this bottom of this bottom chair. It moved to the other board. What position they will be set? I'd like to get this information. Thank you.
Okay, are those all the issues? Question? Love you. Ah, this is the Ali. Very nice to see you here. Welcome. Coming to do overtime work over the committee. Alright, can the department respond? Terako, Kuluma, Pran, speak.
Thank you, Chair. I will start with some questions and the head card will continue with others.
Yeah, you guys will talk. And then the critical questions you say to him, like on the board of directors, then you need to answer that.
I think if I can start with the last one on the issues of staff transfer. As a department, we are committed that staff are not going to lose their job. And I think there's going to be a lot of change management process, which is going to start, and we still need to discuss with the union all the staff implications. But we do not foresee any issues around the loss of staff. And as Honorable is saying, that it's not a loss of staff, it's just about 500 people. And also, if you look at some water for that are going to absorb staff, you will see that some of the staff positions and also the levels are almost higher than what is currently happening in those waterfalls. And in terms of the issue that waterfalls should also benefit those who are being managed, we have undertaken that we will have a national steering committee which is overseeing the whole process. We have even gone to the extent of saying that some board members will be absorbed to continue in order to protect the interests of that particular area, although they will be taken over, but they will be, in terms of the knowledge of the area, we will make sure that they are represented in the board. And the issue of the income, the 27% and the 49%. I think I would like to come back to the committee with the details. But what happened is that the water boards have got a core business and a secondary business. And the core business is around the primary, the provision of bulk services, whereas the secondary activity is where they go to municipalities to support them in terms of operations issues. But I think we will need to check and then come back with the detailed answer to that.
Any other
Chair, can I just say that water boards are constituted in terms of the Water Services Act. So the Water Services Act has got articles dealing with governors of water boards, duties of the board. The minister also must have a business plan. the business clients of them, and the chair of the compact, where she actually portray what is her.
The minister approved the business plan, or did it look at it?
The chair of the compact is being approved by the
business plan. Chair of the compact, but the business plan? Is that the preserve of the board or the minister?
That's for the board to approve, but it must be aligned with the shareholders' compact. Can I just also say, Chair, I hear your comments around the boards, that I think we must take it up, what the minister said yesterday. The minister yesterday announced that she will do a policy review, and I think the same principle applies to cable management agents, if you like the sport or not. So the whole issue, and that's one of the things in terms of a legislative review, because currently we have appointment of a board of CMA, the National Water Act, appointment of a board of a water board in terms of the Water Services Act. And there's a strong feeling that it should be combined in one act, the appointment of a board. But our issue, I think, is going forward in terms of the policy debates with the Minister Constitutors team, the advisor on policy review. Because what Papa was reporting, what we currently need in terms of the current act.
You see, the problem is that we had that whole debate yesterday with Treasury about we decide centrally on things, and then it becomes decentralized, it becomes a mess after that. Now, the problem I have with the board of staff is that I am totally opposed when it comes to issues where there is service delivery to people, the politicians must account to them. I am totally opposed that that is removed from government. We as government, we here, these MPs, should be able to account to the people why they don't have water and stuff. The problem is when you create boards and create 6 or 7 individuals who sit on the board and they start making policies on our behalf, then you cannot do all the discussions we had yesterday about directing centralized planning, a new funding model, and making sure that our objectives in the water sector are met. Because you now have to get through layers of boards of directors. And all of them have to think the same. If one of board of the one board says, no, we're not going to go to the direction. Let's, for example, say the Amatola board says, no, we don't want to expand into the Transkei. The Transkei is just a mess, it's a big problem. We don't want to go and pick up those big problems. If the policy lies with them, it's their decision to do so or not. Not us, because they tell them they can't do it. That's my problem with this issue about these boards and things that exist. I have no problem having these agencies exist, who then become part of government strategy and part of abstract plan to achieve certain things. They've got performance indicators, they have become sort of our stress plan that they must meet, and we must make sure that those agencies meet it. I've got no problem with that, that is fine. That's why I don't have a problem in theory with the CMAs as well, if they work like that. But when you then create a layer of board of directors, and no one knows where the policy lies, and for example, the business plan is not signed off by government, but it's signed off by 6 individuals. Now, those are the problems I have with this thing that we have to discuss with policy. So it's the issue of where policy lies and how we make sure that policy is implemented through government and not through 6 individuals sitting in an agency somewhere deciding whatever they want to decide. What makes it worse about these boards and so on, usually they're people with self-interest. So, you know, the farmers or the businessmen are then on these boards and deciding on the, you know, I mean, it's a recipe for disaster. And we've discussed that if we want to democratize the water governance, it should be done through those other structures where the whole community can be part of the structure and not just chosen individuals who have self-interest. So that debate, please. I see it's not part of the document. It must be part of this document. Even if you say to me you did agree with the committee, that's fine. Then we can accept, then we can fight with you. But if you just leave it quiet and you don't say anything, and then later on we say, but we told you this all along, you've not responded to this. That's the issue to talk about the board. It's not an in-agency concept. It's the concept that you create another layer of policy making that then bedevils us achieving and further fragments the whole machine we're trying to drive. Okay. So please, all those things on board, Alpha.
Yeah, I take your point. It will help to distinguish between, as you say, policy making and running the business, the all in day-to-day business. I can quote one example when the process was halfway during the shareholders' compact when this whole issue of the new ground, the MWIC, happened. And the minister instructed all the water boards to amend their shareholders to include that as part of their function. So indeed, current with the current system, she does include the policy. But then, the day to day, how they appoint the contractor, is that, that's what they ought to decide. I
don't have with this form of implementation. Implementation must be done by the agency within the policy set by government. That's what I'm worried about. Okay? And it may be that a board has not given us problems yet, but if legally there's that uncertainty, no one has ever shown me legally where the policy making lies. I've asked it many times, for 2 years now. I said, show me in the legislation where is policy made on behalf of these agencies. And no one has shown me that yet. The problem is, the fact that there has been a problem doesn't mean there's not going to be one. You may have problems now when you want to disband the shelter. You may have problems. Or whatever you want to do with the others. To expand the mandate of one of them. Some of the boards may start saying, but why? I don't know. So that's my problem I have, is the clarity in the legal sense. I mean, we don't have that clarity, and as long as there are boards who think that they're policy makers on behalf of their entity, because why else would they have a board other than to make policy? If it's an implementation agency, they don't need a board. They don't need a board. It's got the minister as its policy maker. Okay, so that's the issue.
All right, I think that creates a lot of good thought for further discussion. And when we get to the different water boards, I think we must ask some of these specific issues in terms of capacity to expand and so on and so on. And so on. Okay, particularly Khalid, Lebelele, and Amandola. Next input, Trevi. What's your time? The TGM. All right, 5 minute break, and then Trevi will come after that. For a tea break or to go to small places where we learn lunchtime.
Oh, Thank you.
But that is not Jesus, that is not me, that is not just policy. It is me, that is the policy of God. We cannot have certain policies for this Well, I may or may not be
Thank you.
Okay, let's be seated.
Which total 2.9 billion rand. This is predominantly in Ghanaian land, water, and the other five very small levels of debt. So the graph then shows how, you know, if you compare the profitability and what they're spending on capital, they still have a lot of debt which needs to be repaid annually. The water boards that don't have debt, they obviously fund their capital expenditure from their current income and from their reserves. So you look at the reserves across the entire water board sector.
Those are the loans they make. Do they have the right to make them, or must you approve them, or the department?
It's approved by the Minister of Water Affairs with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance, because that debt is included on government as a contingent liability, similar to a guarantee, basically. It's not a guarantee, but it's viewed very similarly. But in the
why hasn't the TOCO got an analysis of the debt?
What is the debt that water boards owe to banks, Med Bank, Standard Bank, and whatnot. So, you know, they will obviously increase it every year, and money changes in a big way.
Why don't you have this analysis in your report? I mean, this gives you a quite different picture.
This is what you'll particularly see on the balance sheet of the water board, and it will present as most of your income statement items. So this also indicates that particularly why the debt has to be approved before they can borrow is because in the event that they just establish the debt becomes water based debt, or in the event that they just establish.
The worrying thing about it is the debt is almost double the profit level.
Yes, and when you look at the debt ratios for the individual water boards, and I'm sure they'll all present that, particularly on Ghanaian Rand Water, then they have their own financial ratios and their own financial limits, which they monitor every year. I mean, you want your debt to be higher in the sense that your infrastructure you pay for in 1 year or 2 years, but serves you over 20 years. So the debt allows you to repay the infrastructure over the lifetime of the asset. So then looking at the reserves of the water board, the total reserves are 9.6 billion, and about 7.5 of that is with Rand Water, so it's predominantly Rand Water. Although then if you look at the assets, then the assets are about 15 billion, and again, more than half of that is Rand Water, and 30% from Ghanaian. And then similar to that graph that Torkel showed with all the different colored circles, the other ones are a lot smaller. So again, if you look at the value of the reserves and compared to the assets, the asset value is 15 billion. The replacement value of the asset is 100 billion. And in some water boards, it's an elaborate exercise to get the replacement value of the asset. In other water boards, it's more an assumption based on what the engineers see the replacement value of the assets are, because obviously they can't see the state of all the pipelines at all the time. And basically what it indicates is the assets are very old. And if they're too, you know, disappear tomorrow, it would have to be 100 billion invested in the sector. What's important about the replacement value of the assets is then when you look at your maintenance expenditure, because you obviously want to continually maintain them, so you don't have to replace them. So the total maintenance expenditure is about 500 million. And it's increased about 30% since 2011. So it was a big increase in expenditure on maintenance, but I think the water boards individually will also say that currently not enough is spent on maintenance.
What they actually spent.
Almost half a billion. Yeah. But if you take into consideration that the assets are worth 100 billion, it's very small. And this is an ongoing concern, not only in the water sector, is how much you spend on maintenance. And one of the difficulties that's been reported and that we see is when it comes to non-collection of revenue, or if their tariffs are reduced in any way or form, generally maintenance is the first budget item that gets cut, because it is discretionary in that way. You know, they pay the bulk water suppliers, they have to use chemical, they have to use energy, and it's, you know, the discussion we had last year where, you know, if you're sitting there as a, you know, as a manager today, you'll spend the bare minimum on maintenance, but hope you're not there in 20 years' time when things go wrong. Moving on to the comment that Treasury gave to the water board, And I think last year we presented on the first day of the tariff with our Treasury and Celgate just coming before Water Faith tables in and approving. So Treasury comments were generally supportive of the proposed tariffs and the Water Board because they're in line with their cost increases, particularly the raw water costs, which is set by Water Faith, the energy costs and the start costs. The tariff increases were generally also in line with historical trends, you know, overall it's an average of a 10% increase in 2012, a 12% in 2011, and 8% in 2010. When analysing the tariffs, we found that three of the water boards actually under recover on their tariffs, that being Bloem, Amadola, and Ungainy, which means they have to either reduce their costs or increase their revenue rate even at the end of the year. It means if water costs them £8, they're only selling it for £7. So their tariffs did not cover their full costs.
Yep.
And sometimes you can do...
How does
that happen? In Amadola's case, well, and Bloem's got the case of the system tariff, so they reduce the overall tariff because they've got raw water and above water tariff. In Amadola's case, it's an ongoing negotiation with the municipality to push the tariff down. So it's an affordability kind of argument that goes on every year in a tariff consultation. And generally, and I mean that's why obviously Amatola is reporting a deficit, they've also got their secondary business, and Ungainy over time then, you know, they have a long-term tariff projection, so they kind of aim for a point where their tariff will cover their costs. And they have to do that in order to be sustainable. For the other water boards, as I said, we are generally supportive of the tariffs, and we just have specific concerns relating to the maintenance budgets, as I've mentioned, the underspending of some water boards and their capital budgets, which was previously reported, and you know, some specific water boards had issues around the increase in volume supplied. I think instead of being came through were high water losses. In addition to the tariff comments, we did a separate analysis on the impact of the tariff. And I think this was one in response to one of the questions that came up last year. So if you see from the table, this is from 2012, because obviously the 2013 tariff only comes to life. So for this example, the water board tariff increase was 13%, and that's how much they got the municipality. The table there indicates what the municipality charges their consumers, being near you. So the water board tariff increase, the bulk tariff increase was 13%, whereas the municipal tariff increase ranged from obviously 0% in the free basic water tariff category, but otherwise tariffs range from 7% to 15% depending on how much water you used. So you'll see then in the table says, you know, the kiloliters per connection per month, what the tariff was in 2011 and what the tariff was in 2012 and how the tariff increase was implemented. So you can see a 13% bulk water increase really only affects those users and companies who use more than 30 kiloliters of water per month. So they'll have an increase that's higher than the bulk water tariff, where poorer users are either cross-subsidized, well, they're subsidized from their critical share, and they're also cross-subsidized from other users. So the tariff that the water board charged had a different impact in different municipalities on the end consumer, depending on how the municipality sees the rising bulk tariff. Using the same example and using the 2012 CPI basket, which was recently adjusted, also makes up 1.1% of the total CPI basket. So a 10% increase in municipal tariffs would add 0.1% to headline inflation, which is actually quite small, and water is included with electricity and a bunch of other household services. Using StatSA data, if you look at 2011 income and expenditure survey data, found that consumers spend between 1% and 1.5% of their total spending on water. So their total income, they're spending very little on water. So it kind of just frames this whole argument about users who are or aren't paying and what and how things are being subsidized and how the bulk water tariff, which water presents, has an impact on users and on inflation in general. On the municipal debt side, as I think Toko presented, there has been quite a lot of progress in the past year. As always, facilitation by National Treasury, Provincial Treasury, Water Fees, including other stakeholders like Shell and Costa, has resulted in payment arrangements in place and implemented. Two examples are in Lepe and Bloem. The total debt owed, I think Phil presented the updated February figures, which was 1.4 billion in arrears. If you look at this 1.4 or 1.3 billion, 85% of the debt is owed by 10 municipalities to those four water boards.
Is that instead of being,
no, yeah, I don't think it ever was. How the debt is usually reported is that 2.3 billion figure, which includes your latest month count. So basically water boards bill 1 billion a month. So the municipalities have 30 days in which you pay it. So then your arrears with a debt older than 30 days is your 1.3 billion. I think last year was it might have been a bit higher or a bit lower. It has declined from last year. And as I said, 85% of this debt is owed by 10 municipalities, and there's a slide at the end which has those municipalities. I think the top three were Matcha Beng local municipality, Kotela Beng, Bushbuck Ridge local municipality, we know with the Bushbuck Ridge Water Board, and Mopani District for Lepele. So those two municipalities make up over almost 65% of the debt owed to water boards by those three municipalities, and it also includes interest payments. Again, if you look at the debt, 96% of the debt is over 120 days old. If you look at last year, it was 81% of the debt, which means this is very old debt. If you compare, I took September to September, but you can really take any month to any month because the trend's not going to change that much. But on average, 87% of debt is paid within 60 days, 93% is paid within 90 days, 94% within 120 days. That means for the past year, for every month when invoices were issued, only 6% of the amount was outstanding. So again, it points to this issue as the debt, the 1.4 billion in arrears, is old debt. It includes a lot of interest. It's particularly around dispute areas. We know the issues about Bushbuck Ridge with the metering. We know the issues around the district and local municipalities in Lepele. Cedar Bend's also got a dispute and an arbitration in process with their municipality. So there are specific technical reasons why this money has not been paid. And when it is paid, it's usually not the full amount that's paid due to the interest payment, which I think Mr. Muffling also spoke about in terms of the water fee account, how the interest payment is calculated and sometimes recalculate when the dispute is settled, because obviously then you recalculate how much you owe, and that will then obviously recalculate how much interest is owing on that amount. So generally, I mean, the recommendation that Treasury has is similar to last year, is the issue around municipalities addressing the root causes. A lot of them, you know, like metering, powers and functions, specific effects about consultations or whatnot. Water beds, power and assistance, ensure they adequate contracts in place, the powers and functions of arrears, and water boards to strengthen timely collection of arrears, proper administration. Although, as I said, for the last financial year, only 6% of the debt has not been collected. So the water boards have done very well in the last financial year in collecting their debt. So I think a key message around the kind of municipal debt is it is old debt. We are aware of it. We have seen progress over the years, over the past year, particularly in the Lepele and Bloem. There is a ministerial task team that Toko alluded to, and that National Treasury is part of. Overall conclusions and recommendations, we're generally happy with strategic performance and the financial indicators of the water board. However, the concerns around Kotela, Bushbuck Ridge, and Amatola, although Amatola has had a vast improvement, as Toko mentioned, in reducing their deficits. We're very happy today to finally hear about the institutional realignment plan. We have been asking Toko for over a year what's happening. So hopefully we can move forward and kind of cross those plans and see what the financial implications are. There's been, you know, a marked increase in expenditure on capital infrastructure.
You've been waiting for those things?
Yes.
Okay.
However, there's insufficient spending on maintenance, and the infrastructure is old and requires refurbishment and replacement. I think the water investment framework, which water fairs have reached as part of the water resource strategy, indicates that water boards are spending about $2 billion, but they almost, you know, they need at least about $1.5 billion additional in this regional bulk infrastructure spending. So if there's going to be a ramp up in capital spending, there has to be also a ramp up in maintenance and refurbishment of the existing infrastructure. And just in terms of expanding operations and impact, I think it follows from what the discussion was before, that water boards need long-term municipal contracts, so they don't get shut down by municipalities when things seem bad. There needs to be long-term planning, particularly around the tariffs, how they cost. So if 1 year you under-recover on your tariffs, as long as you've got plans to make it up in the following year, depending on when you're spending on capital. There needs to be stable, transparent tariffs, and I think this is where Treasury supports the concept of regulation, be it by water fees or someone else. So we understand what is in the tariff, we understand what the internal inflation is, we understand how water boards are spending on maintenance. The raw water pricing strategy has a big impact on the raw water tariffs which water boards pay. Interesting enough, most of the water boards that are owed there pay very high raw water tariffs to water fees. So Portillo, for example, they pay, instead of being, they pay as much for water as Rand Water does, yet these are two very small water boards. So raw water tariff, again, is out of the control of the water boards. Prioritized grant funding for social infrastructure. We've had, I think, debates about the MWIG and the regional bulk infrastructure grants. Just to note that these are grants to water care to then allocate them based on their planning. And unfortunately, in a scenario where obviously there's not enough funding for everyone, in a lot of cases, funding is prioritized to areas where there aren't water boards, and that's where you have the capacity issue where municipalities can't spend and then you have to get water boards to assist them, but water boards don't operate in that area. So I think we've had that debate, but it is something that's obviously a recommendation is to prioritize funding for social infrastructure that water boards undertake.
Theoretically, in the Old Town Sky, the Popo, where all those 24, 25 municipalities are, I mean, theoretically, in law, there's nothing that stops you now using MWI cleverly to provide infrastructure in those areas, preferably through the water board, who then provides the service also to the municipality afterwards. So that's killing two birds with one stone. You're actually getting the stuff done. You're also building the capacities of those weaker water boards.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that we have to do is make sure that we buy capacity in for them until they've got it themselves. Because, I mean, I know those water boards are weak in terms of capacity. And although you want to expand them, they're going to be the ones that are struggling to expand. So we're going to have to look at Treasury and the department and how we capacitate them in the medium term until they've built up their capacity.
Yeah, and I think that's where, particularly around skills and capacity, is although water boards have capacity, they don't have ends of capacity. So you also need to focus on what they're doing, be it bulk infrastructure. There's more and more water boards, and it's always a case in point where they're doing other functions and other services, and it's diluting their capacity and their viability. And then, yeah, just finalization of the pricing strategy review and the institutional realignment, and then a risk management strategy for the secondary activities that water boards are doing, because obviously they carry additional risks because it's not itself water provision.
Toko, I want you, see all these conclusions, recommendations, they may become your recommendations. Let's put them in your documents. They may become part of your strategy. Like this last one, risk management strategy was secondary activity. We don't have that, for example. Make sure they're part of yours. Okay. And then work with Treasury how to do it. But it must, there's not going to be Treasury document, and you have a separate one. What is here is important is putting yours.
Thank you.
The last slide, there is an interesting one.
The financial indicators, I think, talk was covered, and the solvency indicators. That's the thing you can see. If you look at the solvency, which is more your ability to repay your debt, you'll see how much each of those seven water boards have debt, what their debt is in relation to their assets. And you'll see that generally we have a benchmark between 40 and 60%. And it's general because obviously it depends on each water board's assets and how old the assets are, you know, how they're being replaced. And then the current ratio measures the ability to repay that debt from their current assets. And that's generally your ratio is 2 times. So you'll see what's quite interesting is those that are below the benchmark in terms of total debt to assets, like Rand Water, 31%, their current ratio is below the 1.2 times. So for total debt to assets, you know, Rand Water, for example, could increase their debt, but then they'll have to increase their current ratio in order to be able to repay that debt each year.
Okay, 2 is the good mark.
Yeah, 2 and above.
Yeah,
you don't want to be lower than 2 because that means, you know,
you're
just able to meet, you know, it means 1 time means what you get in and you give out.
So Rand Water and Citibank and Amatole have got a lot of scope for further borrowing and therefore have a big capital expenditure.
No, if their ratio is below 2 times, that means that they're under more stress in order to repay their debt.
So under is more stress.
Yes.
So Rand Water is under stress. So, I mean, in terms of this, 1.7.
Yeah.
So the salaries they
charge, I think we were discussing that. Immediately the stress will go away. Yeah. But if you see compared to their assets, they have capacity to take more debt because they have bigger assets. And obviously you need assets to generate revenue, and that's why we look at debt compared to your assets. If you don't have a lot of assets, you're not going to generate revenue, and then you shouldn't be borrowing money from the bank because who's going to repay it? And then this is, yeah, these are your top 10 municipalities.
Now that's interesting, you see. We obviously make a lot about these debt municipalities, but in effect it's really 3 municipalities.
Yes, and as I said, you know what the process is.
The other, like 4% of the debt comes from the other municipalities. So the real debt are actually those 3. Achabeng, Bosbach, Reed, and Mopan. And they include Mathis King and Nala. That's all the, you know, that's basically. So the others are all bits and pieces. But you say in any case, there's only 6% that they're not
paid in the current they haven't paid the past financial.
So are actually in the label.
Yeah, so, you know, Shipping and Bushback Red, I don't know for certain, I'm not sure about the others, but they pay their account every month because they've got an agreement to pay their account.
If you take the average, those 3 may be big, but if you take the average over the whole country, it's only 6% that comes in. And that amounts to 1.3 billion.
No. The 1.3 billion is the total amount, and probably 0.1, so 100 million of that is from the last financial year. So it's saying the 1.3 billion is from more than a year ago.
Yeah.
So over the past year, we haven't added onto that 1.3 billion in any substantial way.
So a billion is current, and 1.3 is arrears. 2.3, total debt is 2.3, of which 1.3 is arrears.
Yes, and last year it was 1.7. So some of the arrears we've got rid of, and that 1.3 is just stayed the same. If that stays 120 plus column, that doesn't change every year unless the debt is repaid or...
And what you're saying is that of the billion current, 94% gets paid and 6% gets paid.
Yes.
Yeah. The current account being paid, except for 6%.
Yes.
The arrears which we have to try and make up from, particularly those 3 municipalities.
Yes, and these arrears are more than a year old, so it hasn't happened, and it takes time to resolve.
That makes the problem much smaller. And should be, the part should easily be able to solve 3 municipalities. They can't even solve it.
There has been movement with Bushback Ridge, I know for sure, and I'm sure water boards can individually present.
Now, this is a very useful input, I must say. And then there's capital expenditure at the bank. This is very useful with the department. It gives you a very clear picture. And in fact, as I've said, over the 2 years that I've been engaging with the water board, I'm seeing overall a marked improvement. Some of them are problematic, but on the whole, it's a huge improvement, I must say. Really excellent. Thanks. Any explanations, any clarities, Mr. Rogers?
Thanks. Yeah, just a couple of issues I'd like to raise. Under the graph reflecting the debt, I must say that's a healthy situation. If you compare the debt ratio to capital expenditure and net profit, I'd like to know what's causing that. Is it an increase in the tariff, or is it just an operational good practice that's showing it? Because
we're currently in economic decline, and it's very healthy to see that our debt is reduced in 2012, and yet our net profit is on the increase. So my question is, why is that? Then you raise three boards, Bloem, Amatola, and Amgeni, that are not covering their costs in their tariffs. However, if you look at the previous presentation, Amgeni is still showing a surplus of 591 million, Bloem is still showing a surplus of 83 million. Amatola is the only one that is currently showing a deficit. Where is that income derived from if they're undercharging on tariff? And then if there is a deficit, how is that dealt with going forward into a new budget? Then, just a question I'd like to ask Treasury, the equitable share municipality. We all know that it's a slush fund for municipalities. What would stop us paying across the equitable share directly to the water board, still in line with the indigent grant and the submissions made? What stops us doing that so that the money goes directly to the source and not a third person? Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. Some questions. Mr. Mangania?
Thank you, sir. I wanted to talk more about this one of equitable share. Honorable have covered me on that point.
I just want to check with the Treasurer. If somebody is unable to pay a debt, and that particular individual or that particular company is requesting for an increment on the tariff, is it solving a problem or is it worsening a problem? What is your thinking on that? Because people are owing a lot of money, and the companies are requesting tariff increase. Can I just get a sense for that?
Mr. Rogers.
Sorry, Chair, just to clarify my question on equitable share, I'm obviously talking of the water portion only.
Any other questions? Clarity? Okay.
Thanks. Let me go to the slide. Yeah, so this is the slide with, I think this is the one, is why the net profit going up over the debt declining. The debt trend depends on the capital expenditure. So, for example, in 2009-2010, Umka Tuti did a big capex plan and they borrow money. So then, you know, the debt is kind of lumpy in that sense. And Van Walter now are embarking on a big capital expenditure plan, so are gaining. So the debt kind of is lumpy as your capital infrastructure is lumpy. So that's why that changes from year to year. The net profit increase, I mean, although the economic decline, people still use water. So I think that's kind of a simplistic answer as to why the profits are still able to increase overall as a sector, because it's a volume-based business and the volume increase. I think that when you look at the tariffs and the question you had around the deficit, is the net profit doesn't equate to cash every month. So I think that's where the difference comes in. And I'm gaining, you know, it's usually very good at presenting how the tariff has an impact on your cash flow. So although they might report a profit similarly to Bloem, the cash every month is very tight. So it's a constraint more on your cash flow. The critical shares directly to water board, I thought we discussed ad nauseum yesterday. Essentially, Treasury is constrained in doing their currency because the critical shares and unconditional grants, not going into the legal debate we had yesterday. But interestingly, if you look at the graph on the impact of tariffs, for example, where you have that, the municipal tariffs in a green and white table, so the critical share is just supposed to cover that free portion, and the municipality sets their tariffs at 7% to 15%, ranging on, depending on how many people they have in the high category, how many people they have in the low category, they then balance their books in that way. Each municipality does on their own. So the equitable share, in some cases, might cover people who use less than 20 kiloliters for water, depending on how many people you have and how much water. So the equitable share is not a direct grant in the sense that looks at each municipality and says, you've got this, you know, we're paying you this much, as this is how much it costs. So currently we don't have equitable share directly to water boards. And what I foresee is one of the difficulties that might happen is then what would be the incentive for the municipality to then balance their books otherwise if they, you know, if it's getting paid, because they're still collecting a lot of own revenue. If you look at, we did look at particularly those top 10 municipalities, and in some of those, their own revenue is up to 10 times the amount of equitable share they're getting. And their own revenue for water, they might not even spend on water, for example. They might spend it on other services, a balance it each year if they, you know, they're building new water services this year, or roads next year, or electricity infrastructure, or whatever. So they have the ability to balance their books every year, depending on what the needs are in that year. And then the question about the inability to repay debt, although tariffs are increasing, I think the data is showing us, particularly like if you look at CPI, so we're saying if water makes up 1% of headline inflation, so a 10% increase in water is a 0.1% increase in inflation, and households are generally spending less than 2% of their income on water. So, and taking into account over the last financial year, 94% of municipalities have paid their water bills. So I think we're not in a situation now where people are unable to repay debt. Those, you know, those four or five municipalities, those are particularly historic reasons around particularly disputes. So I think in those cases, it's not, municipalities aren't saying unable to repay because they're paying 94% of their accounts every month. And the tariff increases have to take into consideration the increase that comes from water fees in terms of water, the increase that comes from ESCOM and municipalities in terms of electricity. So generally the argument is not an inability to pay, it's just how can we keep the tariff increases as low as possible. And as I've said, in cases like Ungani and Bloemwater changed the tariff structure. Ungani, they have a 20-year financial model, so they balance it out that way. So in those cases, it's just how you keep the increase as low as possible. And as I said, one of the unfortunate outcomes is in those instances is a lot of, most times it's the maintenance budget that gets cut first, because the other costs you can't really shift, whereas maintenance can be shifted. So I think and that's, you know, how water boards explain it in their tariff consultations. They'll report on their capital expenditure plans, because whatever they don't collect now ultimately has an impact on their infrastructure in the years to come.
Money, the equitable share, you say is only the free services thing. Is that true? I mean, isn't a large portion of that money also goes to the water board? Don't they pay the water board account? Because they don't provide those services, the water board provides the services.
The water boards provide the bulk water, yes. So most of it, in those cases, will go to the water board. But in a lot of, remember the municipality still has to run the detail function. So particularly if you look at municipalities which have high water losses, a lot of, you know, they're not making money from their portion of the retail water that they're selling. So the equitable share, and I think data has shown that the equitable share covers much more than free basic water, even though its intention is only to cover that first band in terms of a rising block tariff. But obviously each municipality has a different, you know, this range from 7 to 15%, for example. Each municipality has a different amount of people that fits into each of those blocks and their affordability to pay. And that's particularly why when it comes to tariff planning, which although water rates from a national level and treasury assist municipalities in setting tariffs, they need to set those tariffs according to their consumer base and according to their overall municipal budget. Because, you know, you'll find even in some cases water does subsidize other services, or electricity might subsidize, you know, weight or something like that. So municipalities, in setting their, you know, the kind of the key point in the chain is what tariffs the municipality set. And if they get that wrong, it had a ripple effect back up the value chain.
Okay, thank you very much. That was very useful, I must say. AG. AG's office input.
Significant non-compliant issues and issues in
the recording of performance information. The examples in the Ndongo will take you through the red orchards and so forth. Then the yellow color is those that were financially unqualified but had findings with regards to non-compliance with laws and regulations and in reporting their government information. We have a methodology that we use to arrive at what is material uncompliant and what is not. So the fact that we saying that there were no findings doesn't necessarily mean that there were zero findings. You will find that there were findings, but those findings didn't make it to the audit report. They just remained in the management letter, which was submitted to management. Now we're moving to the purple part, where we have the qualified meter without findings. That is a qualification, but not that bad. For instance, you only have 1 year, which is Amazon, and you have a red one, which is the dreaded one, and the disclaimer, which is Buchilo, again, two consecutive years. But I hand over to my colleague to proceed.
Thank you, Sapo. Good morning. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Chairperson. We'll be taking you through the details. I'll start with the movement between 2010-11 and 2011-12. I'll start with those that did well, the improvement. At the top, they're financially unqualified with no findings. We've got Lipele Water. It moved from the yellow to the green. In the previous year, it was financially unqualified, but they had findings on compliance. In 11-12, they moved to the green category. It's a keen opinion. There's also Makalis Water. Although it's currently sitting in the yellow, it shows a significant improvement. In 10-11, Makalis Water was sitting under the qualified category. Now they've moved to the yellow. What they need to do, in order to move from the yellow to the green, they just need to work on compliance issues. Financially, we did not qualify. Under unchanged, for majority of the water boards, it's looking very good because they are unchanged, but they're sitting in the green category. Although there is no better improvement that where they are currently sitting right now. So those are the five water boards, Sidibeng, Rainwater, Ungeni, Teladrift, and Bloomwater. Bushbuck Ridge is still sitting under the unchanged category. There were no findings, material findings under the financial statement, but there were issues with compliance. Wutilo Water did not move. In 10-11, it was a disclaimer. 11-12 is still the case. Those that regressed, we only have two. Omsachuze, in the previous year, it was sitting under the green category. It was clean, now it moved down to financially unqualified with findings. So there are issues with compliance that were reported in 11-12 and not in 10-11. Amatola Water moved from the yellow category to the purple. In the previous year, they only had compliance issues. In the current year, there was a qualification. The next slide talks about the material in the statements, in the financial statements and the corrections made. Out of the 12 water boards, 10 did not have material misstatements, or there were no correction of material misstatements. One of them, the 10 would be, I'll talk about the 2. All corrected is Makalis Water. There were material corrections in the financial statement for them to arrive to the opinion they got. The red one, which is Wutilo Water, there were no corrections. And then the bigger piece of the pie represents the rest of the water bottle. This slide just summarizes everything that we have said in the other slide.
where we said six of the water boards, they got a clean of clean report, which is again Nutella, the rest of water to delay in Little North and Blue Water. Four, they are overbank, Makaris, and Chatuzen, Bushback, they are qualified, but there were matters with their compliance. Amateur is qualified with utility disclaimer. The next slide talks about the qualification areas. Amatola was about the issue of irregular expenditure. Butilo, the irregular expenditure, the issue was completeness. We couldn't satisfy ourselves to the correctness of the amount of irregular expenditure presented by the water board. Butilo water board, it had about four paragraphs. The first paragraph deals with the general entries that did not have supporting documents, and the other issue was the fact that the underlying financial records were not agreeing to the financial statements. The other area was the property worth 83 million, of which we could not determine whether or not the water board has the right to that property. Corresponding figures, to elaborate on this one, the water board corrected the errors that were there in 2010-11, but we could not satisfy ourselves as to the correctness or the accuracy of the corrections made. Management representation letter, at the time of finalizing the audit report, we did not receive the management representation letter. I think that's the end of the presentation. Any questions?
I love that. Any questions?
It's a very useful input that breaks it down nicely so one can understand that it's actually looking relatively good. Now, is there any questions? Mrs. Kostana, Ms. Wenger.
Chair, the report is straightforward. What we need is this water board to come before us or an account and tell us exactly about this problem that has been raised by ages. I think it's straightforward. Waiting for the owners of the problem.
They're coming through. The only interruption is going to be Saga, and that's always a big interruption. Ms. Wenger?
Thank you, Chair. Just a short one. I'd like to know what this management representation letter says. I'd like to know that. If you don't mind.
Is that it? Ma'am?
Okay. In terms of the auditing standards, we require to obtain a management representation letter with regards to things like for them to give up an assertion that they are provisions are complete, correctly handled, your inventory items are completed, all other items. The thing is that we may not necessarily have audited because we audit on a sample basis. So we need that thing before we conclude.
One of the tools that you use to clarify issues maybe that you're worried about, yes. But then they give you an answer and you accept what you don't accept.
And also to cover ourselves.
That's the beginning. Okay. That's the beginning. Do you have a follow-up?
Thank you, Jay. I understand that Zenda is one of the tools that you use in order to do your audit report. But even if you have, like for instance, in the Gaylord text, the management letter, knowing that they had a disclaimer, would you not have audited?
We still audited. In fact, the management representation letter comes towards the end of the audit when we are finalizing. But the audit did take place.
Now, if you do a sample, so there may be part of this, part of that, part of that, you take an aggregate of it. And then there may be things that you picked up somewhere, but it wasn't elsewhere, and then you ask the question. But what about this, that you comply with it? So then they respond.
Yes, and also, if the audit on a sample basis, should meet something, because when the report brings account to our attention, we don't like investigators. So we can use it in court to say management is silent, told us that their financial statements are accurate, complete, and fair. So more of a company tool for ourselves.
You put the onus on them, making them accountable, and you try and verify it. Okay. Everyone happy? Fine. Can we? Yes, we can still do Salga. Salga? Gentlemen, I think you've seen our drill. Please go through a foot and we have then may have some questions. This one.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honourable members of the House. My name is Harry Bukia. I am a member of Saga in Kiwela. I'm also representing Saga in Ukraine. I have some of our staff members here. Our everyday honourable chair is through a presentation, and this presentation we're going to do will only focus on about water tariffs determination, and it will not, and it is not an overview of the water board sector. So I want to give over to one of our staff members, Mr. Mutuvere Kolisa, and he will do the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for being here. Just call you the Antlanger if you can start. Thank you, Honourable Chair and Member. As indicated by Mr. we are just going to focus on the tariff review, touching on the 5 points indicated in the slide in terms of the process, in terms of what have been our previous recommendations in terms of the process, and a summary of the full tariff review and our comments on the issues and recommendations in the present sense. We thought we should start with the process itself and the extent of compliance in respect of this particular process in our comments. The first one is that which we want to note is that we've been coming to the portfolio committee raising concerns in the past about the extent of engagement and cooperation when water boards are at the process of proposing that tariff. We do want to say that there has been a significant improvement in terms of that kind of engagement. As you could see in Part 2, there we were looking at just the process compliance in engaging the municipalities, that is, giving them what we're proposing to implement an increase. So of course, what we used to get in the past, we were looking to apply for no more than without any kind of consultation. With that problem noted, we then look at what then is the content of this. And that's an area in which we think that probably work needs to be done, further work needs to be done, with some of the other boards fulfilling the requirements of indicating municipalities what is that they are proposing their input, but not providing enough information for a municipality to understand and be able to make informed comments on what they are proposing. Case in point, we demonstrated further in presentation, for example, the case of overburden water, which I think the department itself, when engaged by organized by government and the municipality, itself admitted that it did not have an appreciation of the kind of current implication of what it then came to present in Parliament in respect of what is disclosed by water reporter. So we're saying that there's an area there of work that needs to be done.
look at the last column of the slide, there we're essentially indicating that what we don't see is the extent to which waterboards take into account the comments that we make or the comments that Mission Center makes, because we are not favored with the submission that has been made by the waterboard to the department, with the exception of two waterboards that we've been able to see. They are there. So the point is not really on waterboards, a couple, or maybe, but we would like to have seen and be able to make informed comments about what extent have they got the comments that we make on Mission Center. It is slightly just quickly, without going into the details, indicating what we have been as organized local government, indicating in the various years in terms of what could be the increases that could be afforded to each water board and what eventually was decided. And the main point to make here is that organized local government does ask itself what is the scale of this process sometimes. When very, very clear arguments are made in terms of some of the increases that have been proposed by water board, and then they go ahead and approve those. Just to make an example, in the last financial year, we had a situation where both Overbed and Pelatrix were complying with the requirements of the Act in terms of contracting the government. And we made a very clear submission there that they should not be given any increase because they did not comply with the law. And they went ahead and were given 15% and 4.7% in terms of financial. Which means then that both us and Parliament, both as organized government and Parliament, participate in a process that otherwise is seen as unlawful in that doesn't comply with the law. Here we also looking at generally the response to previous RTN recommendations that we've made. Here we just see the slide that show what have been the increases in the price of water over the past 3 years from 2020 to 2018 compared with inflation. And what you could see from the particular slide is that pretty much the increases in the past 3 years have been way above inflation. And we'll talk more about that. Again, emphasizing the point I just made is that in 2010 particularly, when we went through in detail on what increases were being proposed by each water board, the decision that we undertook has been taken by the portfolio committee that there is a need for water boards and the department to engage back before finalizing the adjustment. That never happened if the adjustment was finalized. The question that organized local government is asking is what is the need of this particular process? That kind of this particular hub are not then implemented. And whether anything that comes up here will be implemented is something that like the what the committee already considered. Over and above that, beyond the numbers, there are some other recommendations which I thought were very important recommendations in shaping bulk water pricing in the country. About 4 years ago now we had made a particular recommendation, such as for example proper economic regulation of pricing of water, a review of the pricing policy, instituting a multi-year bulk pricing process. We are hearing that on the first two, there's indication that work has been done, even though it has taken more than almost 4 years now for us to get to where we should have been.
And the first one, I can tell you, won't get out.
Yes, but we do have a mandate to raise this issue because we
think... Raise it, but I'm just telling you. Like you raising it, I'm raising it. You have a right to raise it, I have a right to raise it.
Okay, sir. Yes, and then the other one that we have raised in like issues in terms of setting up parameters and expense parameters in respect of energy and gas. But there is some kind of guide, tariff policy that is required to standardize the approach to funding of assets and operations in water boards as the company that we think are lying for and need to be done. So all of those we think are issues that still need to be attended to, and if they are, they can improve the pricing of bulk water and the impact that has on municipalities who identify the water. In the next slide, here, indicating from where we've been looking at what the price is by Eskom has been
we're looking at what we think then could have been the increase that could have been given to order for taking that into account compared to what was presented in Parliament. And that's the last slide, last column of that slide, showing what we thought would have been increased. We do think that the process that Togo talked about earlier on, in which Water Board has elected to engage in terms of this, probably the little process we hope will come closer to what we are projecting in terms of those particular increases. In this particular slide, we are just having a look at the proposed increases by the Water Board, comparing this with previous increases, comparing them with internal inflation, taking into account ESCOM price increases of electricity, and comparing those with the increase the question, and what we thought it was taking into account is the 9.3 price increase could have been the increases. Again, we comparing them against CDI. In this particular, that's to drive them home, the extent to which the requested increases, particularly compared with the internal inflation of each water board, because that then really talks to the kind of surplus that the water board will need if can get the increases that they've requested. We thought we should put this slide again in the next one on absolute values of trade, of course the average of these. Particularly because I think they made a point which the regulator needs to start investigating, and probably the committee that talking more about it. The point about that most water boards are not very far, except for Pella and Indatuzo, which have got their prices much below the main tariff of all water boards. Most of the boards who are around, then the question is asked, if all these water boards are facing different cost drivers and different costs, how come that their tariffs compare so much to the average? We just raised it. Is there really in the tariff determination that is there? Which talks to, if there isn't a rigor, who should be taking responsibility for that lack of rigor? I think it's for information, so we'll just indicate what are the main factors or components that drive the tariff, which is in the case of the central trend, what on the part of it being bulk water, in the case of overland, on behalf of it being staff. So it's different drivers. Now the question is, how come then the main tariff is almost the same? And then this particular slide, we're looking at the net profit margin. It is just to ask this. So it's significant that you have about five, including this, what about Uchido and Kodrich, which travel at different case. You've got about five water boards that are having net profit margins that are about 11%, and in some cases close to 20%. It's an area of concern. If we could, unless there is a clear justification, we think if we could, we should be minimizing surpluses that have been taken, because the municipalities that have been taken to the water board are feeling the pinch. I heard the Department of the National Treasury making a point about the affordability and the extent which it swings from where they stand, that there is affordability of tariffs that have been touched. But we, from where we end up in quality, when we do our analysis, we find that the data balances and the data base are increasing, contrary to what we've heard from Minnesota. And we think that's out of affordability from the side of the municipality. Also, the increases are increases in excess of the increases in equitable share. So, over time, municipalities are losing out on provision of services to the poor because equitable share is not catching up with the increases in terms of cost that municipalities are paying, particularly in respect of bulk water. We also, in our report, talk about the impact of energy. It has been presented here in Parliament that, in particular in the committee, that
water boards, I think, has, you know, there's nothing they can do about energy. But the thing is, we think that we do need to have a program within the water board sector of dealing with energy efficiency in the business of water boards and in coordination. There are some good examples currently implemented by some of the water boards, starting with, for example, the work being done by Ongeni Water on looking at renewable energy as a form of energy for their own operations. We think that some of this could be coordinated and shared amongst the people. So there's something that is being done. We 4 years ago did talk about the issue of chemical costs. Yes, part of it is to keep our water quality, raw water quality, better. And yes, in addition to the farmers, in addition to the industries, some industries do contribute to our water quality, which eventually impact on the cost of treatment and therefore the chemical cost. But we think that given that mostly the users of these chemicals are water boards, they should not be practical. They should be the ones that determine to extend the kind of pricing that goes into the chemical cost if they were coordinated to work together. So we think that an area of intervention that's done there. The other issue relates to interest cover, that the pricing of some of the water boards for higher profit margin is related to this particular one. And then again, earlier in my presentation, we talked about pricing and the quality of funding of water boards and how this impacts eventually on the pricing of water. I think there's been a discussion on debt management. I don't have to go into that. But the last point in relation to this is the tariff structure. I just regulating the tariff structure. I will use the example of the municipality in respect of this to demonstrate just how lack of regulation of the tariff structure of water would impact on municipality. In the case of this municipality, the water board produced a new component in tariff, which is the capital levy. It had two components in the past, consumption charge and basic levy. And over and above that particular consumption charge, basic levy increased by 44%, and when in addition there's a new levy, and the consumption charge itself is increasing by between 15% and 40% when you look at the detail of what is proposed in municipality. They have been this. Their submission has been approved by the Department of Foreign Affairs for submission here in Parliament, and it talks about 15%. And it's not really the case. It was in effect the increase that the few of other government states in respect of this becomes a 7% increase. And to us, it's an issue of getting enough information in order to be able to make an informed determination. Again, one of the issues in regulation that is that we thought could be interesting to the committee to is the effect of the introduction and the increases in respect of these two components of the tariff, the base levy and the capital levy. The effect of that is that for a municipality or for a consumer to get to a point where it optimizes it purchases of water, it has to purchase a whole lot more water. And so the more water you purchase, the more optimal your cash becomes because of the base charge that actually, particularly they have portioned relationship overall. So that's what applies to say. Again, we think that it makes a point about the regulator looking carefully at the tariff structures that are approved for water boards to charge municipality. The summary of the case is highlighted there that there's a specific increase of 15%. The 15% is really not a true reflection, which is one that was presented here in Parliament. There's a coordinate increase in basic levy. There's a new capital levy that is being proposed. And then I made the point about municipality that has to consume much more for it to be able to, or a consumer that has to consume much more for it to be able to obtain a better unit rate. Now, there are some issues that we have raised in the past in the single level that we have in under the current circumstances. That the capital expenditure plan, in some cases, are not supported by both projections in terms of trade support. Now, what this means is that then you are predicting a lower return. What this means is that you need to have more for a liter of water to cover the cost that you have to do. And we think that
we've been raising this issue of linking the capital gains with growth projections that they are in the state going in order. But then we noted here about three waterfalls that we think there is a need for that. The second one is the issue of secondary work.
Sorry, just explain that. The CAPEX plan are often not supported by growth projections.
In terms, if we take that into consideration, there's so much more interest in cases of capital expenditure. You would have expected that the amount or the volumes of water that are being produced would at least comparable, of course, taking into account that
they would increase volumes of
water. Taking into account, of course, that there would be some refurbishment, there would be some replacement of others, but we see huge increases in capital expenditure with big increases in the actual volumes in terms of output. That was seen from some of the water bodies. And then again, the second one being the secondary work. Of some of the water boards. We have cases here of Amadola and Makhali. If you think that despite what the law says in respect of the noting that they should be ring-fenced in such a way that they don't have an impact on the primary business of the water board, we're seeing that pillars in performance, pillars whatever reason in the secondary business tends to impact on the bulk water price, which is contrary to what the law says. Then to conclude, therefore, Chair, we are making this recommendation, which we think should be taken into account, that in terms of increases of water board, we are proposing that in the case of the fifth water board bulk price increases, we think that it could be a reason to adjust some of these increases lower and we put the reason here. We just want to correct here in relation to rainwater. That our initial impression was that rainwater has huge water losses, but having engaged with rainwater, we have a better understanding. You know, we understand that water losses are not a main issue there, but we think that the surplus that rainwater is making, the efficiency that probably could be achieved, particularly in the sense of energy efficiency, could lead to lower tariff increases. So we think that there could be some efficiency that could be achieved there. So in respect of the water board, we think that they need to relook at the tariff they are proposing. And in particular, I would emphasize that I've made example of the water, that there is a need to renegotiate it, that there could be the issue of the history with the consumers in OverPay because of the effect that they had on the tariff. Then to conclude on the recommendation, Chair, we think that the regulator needs to intervene on the interest cover benchmark to keep growing reserves. We think that money that is accumulating in the reserves of water board could be spent elsewhere.
I know that Ngeni 2 years ago was 400 million. They've now brought down to 100 million. So they've quite substantially used their surpluses for further CAPEX. So I don't include them in that category, but who else do you say is in the category that is increasing reserve?
Within rand is one of them. Rand water is one thing.
Rand
water. And my colleague was also saying that maybe if we have a very lucrative agreement in Guinea, you might still find a similar thing. Which relates to
my idea. Guinea has, when I started here, they had 400 million. Today they've got 105. So you can still, but at least in the last 3 years, they invested largely in CAPEX to bring that down, as far as I know. And we also told the department to change their tariff scheme because the reason for them having that big surplus is that the municipalities they were servicing didn't likewise have CAPEX. So if they got money for this CAPEX, the municipality that they served didn't have CAPEX ready. So they couldn't invest the money out of the good housing themselves. So that is the explanation for the reserve at that time. But I have understood that comes down fourfold.
I think even again,
but you say Rand water is another one, so I look at that and...
Okay, I mean, when we looked at Ngeni's proposal, I mean, there's surpluses in the last initial day, it's over 100 million.
This is what we were told about the past, they just told us 105. But we look at that, okay? We'll call it, okay?
The main issue here is that we think that there is a need to really, in terms of this intervene and clearly clarify the issue of interest cover and interest cover and set some kind of a benchmark
but we just don't approve each and every water body request that is supplied to that is to reserve without the...
No, we've expressed our view on that. We're totally opposed to that. We were totally opposed to what Mgeni was doing. Even if they say it's not their fault, the fact of the matter is that next year then you don't need such a big issue. If you had a surplus in the previous year that you couldn't spend because the municipalities weren't bringing their side, then you should get the same increase for the next year as usual. So we have expressed our view on that. And we feel very strongly about
it. Yes. The second one is just policy guidance in terms of inter-area subsidization of social development costs. Here, what we're talking about is that, let's take an example down in Business End. There is a need to augment the bulk capacity down there. What then tends to happen is that municipalities in that territory are going to pay for that increased capacity by a tariff that they pay to rent to gain and gain it to pay to the carbon that is measured in that bank, in that air, for example. Now, here we think that we need a rethink as a country about whether the social development, because with a component of that investment is whether social development area of the water board, or it should be some kind of a national subsidization of child development, because it is proportionately increasing in some cases the cost for those who are able to pay in a given water board area as compared to another. So it does need some kind of geographical inequity. So I think there's a need there to deal with that.
Now, I think we agree with that one as well. We don't know what mechanisms you use, but we urge Treasury to look at that.
Yes.
Because it's wrong for the old Bantustans who weren't given proper services. You now have to catch up with the Western Cape and so on. And then the people that have to pay for it, the people in the area, who in the first place weren't given the services under apartheid. So, I mean, we don't like that idea as well. That's why the whole issue of sometimes funding through TTCA projects, they're not completely market-based. It's fine if that's only going to cater for ESCOM. But it's very different if you want to use that dam also to service the poor community in that area. And clearly they can't pay the same tariff as ESCOM. So there is a problem with this, and I don't know if no one has told us what the answer is. But it's fine that when we create new water sources like dams and so on, that's not the poor that the ones that are suffering the most, and they will get bigger increases than say a city like Cape Town, because they've got established infrastructure and so on. The other ones haven't got too much, they put infrastructure and the services, are they paying also for that? So that whole cost subsidization is something we have to look at very carefully. I personally don't know how to do it, and no one has ever come and told us how we can do it. But the issue is we have to start thinking about it. Now I'm hoping that this whole review of the price status. But even if you look at the different prices at different water boards and that pay, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if one water board is only paying, getting 1 cent increase and another one getting 4 cents increase, I mean, someone bears that cost. You know? And so that is where subsidization is coming. So that you can create a tariff that at least creates where we say, this is the where we draw the line. So this tariff everyone will get. If it goes above that, is it the consumer that's going to have to pay for it, or is it the state going to pay for it? I mean, that's the real difference. Well, not even the state. Are all of us going to pay for that area, or is that area only going to pay for that area? So that's really what we need to start doing with a pricing strategy, to get a point, and where we need more infrastructure, therefore we can have more tariff, then that tariff that goes above that line, who's going to fund that? At the moment, we're saying people must fund. So the poor people who didn't have it in the beginning are now also funded to make up for the cost. And that just doesn't work. So we are aware of that, and when they come up with a pricing strategy, we would be looking very carefully that has been taken for somehow. Of course, they get Treasury on board as well, but okay. They are our mates. They're my friends.
Yes, thank you. And then the other one is on the data management. We have reported about it. We are very concerned that the P
feature that Treasury has. Maybe a bit more of, because we think that the data bill are increasing, we think that the data balance are increasing. Together with Treasury, we need to analyze why likely is the future different. Because it might come back to us next year and say again, the data is more expensive.
I must say, the future I have in mind that has been given to me previously is different from the one we got today. I mean, tonight I can see very easily off the Treasury. Because, I mean, as I've explained it, of the current debt, 94% is getting paid, 6% is not getting paid. Now, that is a different picture of what I had. Then I thought the arrears were much bigger than what they are.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, I think that is a huge difference in government. And we have to collect money, look at WTE, submit. So I do think it's something we need to work on hard in each. But I have seen there's been a definite improvement in many of the water boards. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there's still many weaknesses, but there's definitely an improvement.
Second, is another recommendation. It's just having a focused way of working out how to deal with the issue of energy in the water sector, the issue of chemicals, and also other efficiencies that there is a need in order to manage the increasing prices of water and the affordability from the point of view of the municipality and the consumers. We think there is a need to build a focus kind of work that is going to be. And then lastly, we thought probably we don't like it very much, is the issue of price regulation and price determination process. We think that indications in the past 4 years do suggest that there is a need for somebody else to have a look at what water boards do as price increases before those will come to the end product. Because we have a strong sense from the local government viewpoint that sometimes the concerns about the viability of water boards from the department, which it should have those kind of concerns, they tend sometimes to override the concerns about the affordability of water. And we think that we need somebody to take a balanced view in terms of this, which is why in the first place the one argument that we need independent economic regulated water. And to that extent, because while we are working on something off the top or something that could achieve those outcomes, whether call it an independent regulator or not, we think that we could, as we recommended in this period, as a country, we could, for example, set up a temporal panel of experts for every year to look and analyze and look at the submission made by Treasury, the submission made by SALGA, and the motivation made by Water Board before passing on to the minister to come and deal with them in Parliament. We think that there isn't an adequate, as I would think, from the point of view of the affordability and the harm thereof on socio-economic development. Thank you very much.
Now, on the last one, you see, if you listen carefully to Treasury's input and to the Department's input, you see exactly why your proposal is not a good one. Because water tariffs, all its mistakes and problems at the moment is not even. Because it's government that oversees that process and therefore sees how big your paychecks will grow and so on, it's government that takes the responsibility for the tariffs. Whereas if it's an independent group and you guys should have learned from NERSA. NERSA is a prime example why it is against the ban. Because you go there to NERSA, six individuals decide on behalf of the country, and they haven't got the advantage, those six, to have a whole political government structure behind them to make sure they mitigate some of the problems and make sure that the cross-cutting and subsidization takes place. Those decisions you must force it to happen in government, not in some little structure somewhere. And what we have advocated with the department is we agree with you there is a need for some expertise to look at these stuff more carefully. At the moment there's a lack of it. There's a certain lack of expertise in the process. But we are saying that expertise has to be created in government, not in some structure outside. That there's a group of experts within the government that you as SALGA, that the water board, that the municipalities can engage with, that have expertise to look at these issues and so on and so on. And then make sure that feeds in and so on. But that is all linked to this new water rising strategy we have there. Because I think that if we don't grant those issues, then we're going to keep on having the problems we have. We've got poor municipalities, lack of capacity, weak water boards in those areas as well. Now what's that? It's a recipe for disaster. It doesn't matter how low you make the tariff. It doesn't solve the problem. The tariff problem doesn't get solved. Because the problem is infrastructure is not even built in there. I mean, if you can look at it, Limpopo, part of Northwest, Kazuna Natal, that's where it is. And that's where the M-Week money is now going to go. The 25 municipalities where the 2 billion M-Week money is going to go. So we're saying that M-Week money in those 25 municipalities are now being used so that we can build the capacity of the municipality plus the capacity of the water board there to be able to produce and deliver the service so that we can put the infrastructure in. What we then have to do, the next step, is to look at a water pricing that is even and fair and that where the subsidization takes place. But the expertise has to be in government so that it forces government to make the political decisions. In electricity, we're going to pick up a big problem down the line. As we get these increases, we're asking for 43% increases and they get a 15% increase. They're creating a capex that gives 43%, but they're getting a 15% increase. It's because they don't make political decisions at the same time as the finance. You have to do them together. You can't try and create them like that because they are a fragmented system. Some people make decisions there on how the, and the other people make decisions there on how many paychecks they're going to have. This doesn't work. You must force government to make the political. I, as a politician, must be able to account for those things. I mustn't be able to say, go and ask NERSA. Go and ask the independent body. Because that's what happens. The problem is none of us can answer on behalf of NERSA. They're not accountable. They don't get voted in. No one votes for them. And so on. It's just because why? We've taken the political decision. We've put it somewhere. It's individual. The decision has to stay. So what we're saying to the department is create that expertise and talk to Treasury to get, because the problem is you can't just create ordinary civil servants. You need experts with salaries that are different from the what civil servants are going to get. You can't say to someone, come in at a clock rate 15 and bring all that expertise. They're not going to be able to do that. As you suggested, the other possibility is to get a panel of experts from time to time together that you pay them and do it. So those are all possibilities we can look at. But the fact of the expertise, we don't dispute. We think that's needed. Because we do think that's more logical decisions have to make. But I think there's a lot of political decisions that have to be made before we even get there. There are problems in the system, structural problems in the system of creating, like subsidization is one of them. That we're letting poor people pay for subsidization in their area. Okay? So I think there's a lot of things we agree with. Maybe it's just a tool in the end. Alright, any questions to Saga? Baba?
No, Chair, thank you. The member says you just will engage the reporters.
After lunch, yeah. I always get warned that it's now lunch time.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to give you that thought.
Alright. We're going to give thought to this. We'll engage Saga after lunch. Then let me tell you the order in which we will then hear the board. We will start with the big boys, Grand Water, Umgain Water, Sediveng, fourthly Lepelele, fifthly Bulum, sixthly Makhali, seven Overberg, eight Stardrift, and then all the Pokemon children, Nsaturi, Amatole, Bushbar Ridge, and Boschelle. Okay. That's the order in which we'll do it. We'll try and do as many of them can this afternoon after Saga. We will adjourn. We will meet at 2 o'clock again, and we'll start with the Rand Water. We'll start with...